of town, so he's like, come on. Ready, everybody? Thank you for attending the Thursday, June 1st closed session agenda. Before we get started, Ms. Rosemarie Arnold, who is in charge of the community center, has a quick announcement, and she has to go home after that, so I'm allowing this quick announcement.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. On the 6th of June, which is next Tuesday, the South Bay Community Center is having the Taste of South Bay. And I just wanted to encourage you all to come if you possibly can. The tickets are $40, and we're going to have about 12 local restaurants and about 12 wineries here, so you'll get plenty to eat and drink. In addition to that, we're going to have a silent auction, and some of the items that we currently have are, I have a certificate here which is for a private tour of Hearst Castle for 6 people. And I have a certificate here for either the Avila Beach Resort or the Black Lake Resort Golf Course, a membership for 1 year. Have another certificate for the Tolosa Winery. It's a tour for 10 people. And those, I know Chuck likes these certificates. They're massage tickets. So that's what we have, and I invite you all to come. It starts from 6 and it ends at 9, so please come, and if you need tickets, I believe some of the people in the audience have them for sale tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Arnold. I'd like to have a roll call vote, please.
Director Sennett. Present. Director Cecenia.
Here.
Director Tacker. Vice President Fouché. President Schicker.
Here. Mr. Fouché will be here as soon as he can. He's traveling home from a work assignment, so he'll be here as soon as he can. All right, closed session agenda. I'd like to read the agenda for the audience and then open it up to public comment. We're going to make sure I'm on the right agenda here. Hang on. Sorry. Okay. Okay, so we have an agenda that was published on Monday, and then an overlay, special meeting, one additional item for closed session. These are the items that are on tonight's agenda. There's a discussion of the interim general manager performance review. So those are the items on the agenda, and opening it up to public comment now. Please come on up to the lectern.
Dave Dugan Los Osos, and candidate for a hopefully existing CSD in November. Taxpayer Watch, I did go to the hearing, latches and estoppel. I was well pleased with the majority of a performance of the lawyer for the CSD. He missed some great opportunities to get us some information. And his questioning of the two witnesses. Well, one thing I did notice that was said, Gordon Hensley said that under oath that he believed, yes, as questioned by his lawyer, the CSD can adopt ordinances just like Measure B. And that was words out of his mouth. She asked the question. He had her clarify it. He says, this board can adopt Measure B type ordinances. So I don't see where the complaint is other than that the people voted for it. Sharon Fredericks testified. She said there are no members to Taxpayer Watch, but there's a large over 3,000 email list, but they have no members. Of course, Gordon Hensley testified there are members. She testified that they didn't have elections for their officers, and yet she somehow became the secretary. Now, the way I looked at the way Gordon Hensley testified was they have a membership, and yes, they definitely have some kind of board going, though that wasn't made clear. I wonder if they're collecting monies and spending monies and keeping track of how that money's coming in and who they're, how they're spending it and who is spending that money. Barnard versus the LLCSD. Now, I've been looking at the Coastal Commission permit for staging areas, and I've asked this question. Are they in compliance with that staging area out there? Because they have it for storage of materials. The Coastal Commission said storage for equipment. If you look at the photograph of the outlay of where that was supposed to be used for, none of those pipes are supposed to be where they are. It's in violation of the view shed. So I think that's probably something you need to bring up. They're still leasing it. There's political posters or whatever on there too, which is no big deal. But I think they're going to charge the LOCSD in any lawsuit for that lease. They should be gone. And finally, interim general manager review. Well, I won't say poor, but I won't say great either. Thank you.
Someone without prior sewer baggage who has nothing to gain from holding this position. Someone who can step outside what has happened in the past and negotiate the future. The person I would consider is Rosemary Gaglione. She is very professional, knows the county governmental structure well, is very responsive to the needs of the people, and would work with people on all sides of the issue at hand. I would urge you to discuss this tonight in your closed session. And also, I would ask that you consider maybe running any future PowerPoint presentations without narration during the closed session so you can get down to district business as soon as you return from closed session. That might save a little time for business during CSD sessions. Thank you.
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. Just a couple comments. Unfortunately, I wasn't there during the trial for the Measure B. But it was my understanding is that during the questioning that there was no evidence from the minutes as to actually when the settlements were made. And I'm disappointed in the fact that they did provide tapes, but the tapes were not prepared before to be shown to the judge that, boom, this is the date, this is what the board did. I think that's really unfortunate. And I'd just like to kind of reiterate what Jerry said about Rosemary. I just think she'd be great. I think you need that liaison. You need someone to lead us. We're going to need help from the county. There's just no doubt about it. And Dan, I think he's done a fine job. I would probably agree with Mr. Dugan on that one. I mean, there was a lot of crap, and he had to deal with it, unfortunately, instead of getting down to business. But good luck. Thanks.
Thank you. I just have a quick comment. When reviewing the minutes tonight, I found the reference to the settlement agreements in the minutes. And you may recall on December 1st, we had a closed session meeting that adjourned at 4 a.m., and we reported out a closed session on December 6th about the settlement agreements. So I did find it. I don't know if it was discussed in court because I wasn't there all day, but it is in the minutes.
Good evening, I'm Bruce Payne. I noticed last meeting on the agenda there was no mention of LADA versus LOCSD and the state regional or the state water resource control board lawsuit. I'd like to let you know that lawsuit for a 218 vote for our community is still alive and well. We had an attorney lined up, and somebody from one of the law firms you hire called her and talked her out of taking it, so we got rid of that flake in a hurry. Thank you very much. Like I said, the lawsuit is still alive and well. I would like for you to settle it. I hate to have my own CSD in it.
I hate to interrupt, but we may need to talk to counsel about why or why not that is done.
Okay. I've just had a discussion with the attorney involved.
There's no P in law.
Just an
it's
oversight.
LOTA. The other thing, I'd like to see some dollar signs like we had a few months ago on what these lawsuits are costing and what law firms we're paying it to. Thank you.
Joe Sparks, Los Osos. We continue to spend money on Measure B. It is three judges. You had two judges in San Luis Obispo, and you had a judge not ruling but indicated it was not even applicable in Sacramento before the election. This was brought by Burke, Williams, and Sorensen. They had a vested interest in the outcome. She was here during the election, a lawyer for Burke, Williams, and Sorensen. We continue to spend money. I think this needs to get off the plate. I wish the Taxpayers Watch lawsuit against you guys would go away, and I wish you guys would drop all this Measure B nonsense and we would get on with life. We're just wasting money, but particularly the advice you've got with Measure B, it brought before this community before the election, has caused nothing but aggravation. And that firm was Burke, Williams, and Sorensen. And why I will never trust your decisions. This community, property owners, are just not going to trust your decisions so long as Burke, Williams, and Sorensen is advising you guys. That's just, if you want to win trust from this community, I suggest you also add legal counsel to your agenda, and you fire these guys. You fire these guys. Measure B has just aggravated the whole scene. It was an obstacle to negotiations. It was the reason we got fined. You know, and I'm sure they're shooting for the moon on appeals. But, you know, you've had three separate judges rule against it. Chuck and Steve, you signed your name to it. But did you stand up in there in September and defend it? No. Julie Biggs got out here. Okay, as far as the general manager, as far as Mr. Blesky, unfortunately for him, he inherited. When you made the decision to stop on October 1st, there was no general manager. You put Buell on leave, and you didn't hire him till after that. So to his credit, he inherited that mess.
Good afternoon. Gail McPherson, Los Osos. I think that I want to temper some of what was just said on Measure B because it was a siting ordinance, that was needed because all good siting practices were ignored in pursuit of a park. And 3 years of people saying, I don't think we want it there, I don't sides upon, that will be necessary in order to have a successful project. Whether you guys pursue Measure B further is certainly up to you and with input from the community. But I just want people to understand why Measure B happened. It was because of 4 years of ignoring the public. So however you decide to cite or whether you decide to keep an ordinance similar to Measure B, either way, you're going to have to listen to the community and not make the mistakes that the last board made. Thank you.
Richard Margetson. I want to speak about the Measure B hearing the other day. Sharon Fredericks made some comments or was asked some questions about membership in the Taxpayer Watch Group and how officers were elected or appointed. And There was one question that wasn't asked that I would have liked to have heard an answer. At one point, she was asked how she became secretary or treasurer or whatever she was. And she said, well, we met, and I just was kind of self-appointed, you know, almost like she volunteered. And the next question was something to the effect of, well, where was this meeting and how many attended? The answer was a group had gotten together and there was maybe six in attendance when they picked their officers and who was going to be kind of in control. Question was never asked, who were the other five people? I would have really liked to have known who was in that room that day. It was also interesting that a series of questions were asked of Gordon Hensley to try to confirm that since he was recalled, he's been instrumental in keeping an eye on the district. And, you know, there was the questions went like, you know, have you been gathering the agendas for the meetings? Have you been reviewing them? Have you been watching the meetings on TV? Have you attended any of the out-of-town meetings? He announced that he had attended the state water board meeting. And then that line of, it was trying to show that he was really involved. But then that line of questioning went awry when nobody asked the follow-up questions of, Mr. Hensley, have you attended a CSD meeting since you've been recalled? Have you attended a committee meeting since you've been recalled? Have you attended a regional board meeting since you've been recalled? Have you attended a state meeting? At any of these, have you attended and have you given public comment? Because it was also brought out from him that he was the coast keeper and his input into the process in all the communities, and he was the watchdog, and he usually keeps up on these things. Well, I believe the avenue for the coast keeper is to do what he's supposed to do in public and at the podium. It hasn't happened once since he left office. But as I've said before, he, Sharon Fredericks, Joyce Albright, Bob Kreiser, they surface in courtrooms, but they don't surface at this podium.
Please rise for the flag salute. Thank you for coming. Welcome to the June 1st regular meeting of the Los Osos Community Services District. First thing I'd like to do is have a roll call.
Director Sennett.
Present.
Director Sasania.
Here.
Director Tacker.
Here.
Vice President Fouché.
Here.
President Schicker.
Here. The next item on our agenda is to report out of our closed session. Now I'd like to introduce Mr. Murphy from Berkman, Gims, and Sorensen.
Thank you, Madam President. In closed session, you received a report on pending litigation, specifically with respect to the Los Osos CSD versus Golden State case. You gave direction as to district council to settle as to technical issues and to bring the settlement back for your board's approval. You also gave direction as to other steps to take that would effectuate a global settlement of that case. You received further reports on other pending litigation, received a report on real estate relating to the three parcels listed in the agenda, and directed the interim general manager to continue negotiations regarding those parcels. Finally, you engaged in an assessment of the interim general manager's recent performance, which assessment will be continued on an ongoing basis. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Okay, and now we'd like to have, is there any changes, Mr. Blesky, to the agenda, changes or additions?
Madam President, the only item that we would like to, well, one adjustment is that I will be giving my report orally under Administrative Committee reports. And also, as we look at the consent calendar, item number 6, we just would like to reschedule that for June 8th, as it has not been. We had a request by the Water Committee to submit that to the Finance Committee, and we will be looking at that item, although you have the board package, on Monday. So we'll schedule it for June. We're recommending schedule it for June 8th.
Thank you. Okay. This evening we have a special presentation by the Executive Officer of LAFCO. LAFCO stands for Local Agency Formation Commission, and Mr. Paul Hood is here to give a short presentation. Mr. Hood?
Yes, thank you, Madam President and members of the board. I'm Paul Hood, the LAFCO Executive Officer, as Lisa just mentioned. Your president asked me to give a brief overview of the LAFCO hearing that's scheduled for June 15th. And the first thing I wanted to mention to you is that the hearing on June 15th will be continued on that day to the time for people to speak to the issues. And I know there's a number of issues that both sides, the dissolution proponents and the district, would like to address, but the June 15th hearing is not the time to do that. July 6th is. And let me talk a little bit about what you can expect at that hearing, and that's, I think, the main reason that you asked me to come this evening. I've handed out, at least over on the table, what we call guidelines for public comment. And trying to keep, the matter focused on the issues, I guess, is the main directive in this public comment period. We'll have speaker slips available for members of the public. We have the Board of Supervisors chambers. We have an overflow room if the crowd gets larger than can be accommodated. And surprisingly, in that new board chambers, there's not a huge amount of space. I think the maximum capacity is about 126 people. And we run into a fire issue. Fire marshal is pretty concerned about people standing in the aisles. We do have an overflow room that will be having a television camera in and microphones, speakers, so that people can hear what's going on. And if they wish to speak, then hopefully people will come into the chambers to speak, and then we'll leave and go into the, one of the adjacent rooms or out into the lobby where there will be television cameras and speakers again, so you could hear what's going on. So we are expecting a large turnout, so we'll wait and see, and hopefully we can accommodate that. We have the opportunity to continue the matter if necessary, and we've scheduled hearings in the board chambers, have those reserved every 2 weeks. We can continue the item legally for a maximum of 70 days, although that's directory rather than mandatory. We could extend that for a reasonable period of time, not 2 years or anything like that, but for maybe a week or two if necessary. Each side of the issue, the proponents of the dissolution, and you, I think, are well aware, and I've met with several of you individually and talked to Dan, your interim general manager, the application to dissolve the district was initiated by about 17% of the registered voters. Minimum threshold is 10%, so it's well beyond that. Signatures were certified by the county clerk, and several were thrown out. They do kind of a random sampling if they have over 500 signatures. So we have a valid application. There's no question about that, and we're processing it. We had 90 days to set the matter for hearing after the certificate of filing, so we used the maximum amount of time, just so that we could get all of the issues on the table, that we'd have a chance to meet with everyone, get maximum input, and prepare the staff report and recommendation, which we're doing. And now, thankfully, we have 3 extra weeks to do that. At the public hearing of LAFCO, LAFCO, again, is a 7-member commission made up of 2 county supervisors, 2 city council people, 2 special district representatives, and a public representative, only one of which, registered voters, probably a little bit less. So, you know, 90 days to get that to send the matter to an election. The other option that LAFCO has, and, you know, one that, you know, I think you're well aware of, too, is to deny the request to dissolve the district. And if the commission denies the request to dissolve the district, then that's the end of the story, you know, at least until, you know, a two-year time frame. I think it's a two-year, maybe it's less, that a new petition could be circulated or to do it again. And that is to reinitiate the dissolution proceedings. But if LAFCO denies the dissolution, then the district continues in place. And, you know, that's the end of the story. If the district is dissolved, then the county steps in as the successor agency. And legally, you know, according to the Cortese-Knox-Hertzberg Act, the county becomes the successor agency if the district that's being dissolved is completely in the unincorporated area. And the county succeeds to all of the rights and obligations, liabilities, and your legal counsel knows this. You know, all of the assets, everything is transferred to the county, you know, including liability for lawsuits, for fines, and for anything else that are pending against the district. So there's some weighty decisions here that LAFCO needs to make, and, you know, we as staff are taking it very seriously. The commission is very involved and has had updates, you know, on a monthly basis from me and from our legal counsel. We haven't gone into closed session, but, you know, in public session, everything has been, the commissioners have been briefed. They're asking questions, they're engaged, and they're very knowledgeable and becoming more knowledgeable as the issue approaches. So again, at the public hearing, the public will be given an opportunity to speak as well. You know, the district will be second to the proponents of the dissolution. And then the public will be allowed, after the staff report, both of these are after LAFCO staff gives its report, and they'll be given 2 minutes each. And they will be allowed to speak. We didn't want to give 30 minutes each. We thought that, you know, with a large turnout, that we'd want to limit the, you know, the testimony, have people, give people an opportunity to say what they have to say. We're going to discourage repetitive testimony or comments. Of course, if the chairman, and Lisa knows, our chair is usually pretty strict about keeping control of meetings, and if there is a repeat of things, if people are repeating things, then she will probably cut the public comment down to maybe a minute. But we think that 2 minutes should be enough time. If comments are longer than 2 minutes, or if you believe, or anyone in the audience or the viewing audience believes that 2 minutes is not enough time, then I suggest that, and you know, highly recommend that written comments be submitted. And we will make sure that the commissioners get the written comments that become part of the public record, and they'll have a chance to look at those you know, by reviewing the public record of the hearing. So if that, you know, if the public comment, the oral comment is not enough, then written comments are encouraged and recommended. I think that's pretty much it for me. I didn't have a PowerPoint. I thought that I could just kind of talk about the issues. Again, it's a presentation, and I'm, you know, really happy to be here. I just wish it was under more positive circumstances. But, you know, we have a...
Mr. Hood, I know we didn't plan for audience questions at this time, but do you mind a few questions from the board who haven't had the opportunity to speak to you, and then a way that the members of the audience can get any questions answered at another time if they can't do it tonight? Because I know you have.
That would be fine. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any questions from Director Sassenia?
I was just wondering if the hearing is going to be televised on public access television. Are viewers kind of like get spoiled out here, I think, in Los Osos?
Well, I know that Steve is, you're Steve, right?
No, I'm Bob.
You're Bob. So.
Bob.
I don't know what Steve looks like, but I was assuming. I talked to Nancy from AGP and asked her if they would be willing to televise the event. She was going to talk to Steve, not Bob, and kind of get back to me. But she hasn't, I haven't heard anything yet.
Is there a way that we can split the cost, or you don't know, budget-wise?
Well, you know, they quoted me, you know, an amount that we don't have in our budget. And, you know, if there is enough public interest, you know, maybe we can work out a way to do it. I don't know if AGP is willing to do this as a public service or not, but, you know, it's subject to discussion. Let's see, you know, say that we would like to have it televised.
Any other questions from the board? Vice President Fouché?
I had one. Mr. Hood, thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
This board is responding to the petition. And so I'm assuming that's our focus, is the issues that were brought up in the petition. Is there anything else that we need to provide you prior to this? And I'm assuming, I shouldn't assume, does your staff recommendations to your board? Or is this something that's the board is doing all the reading, and making that decision?
No, we make a recommendation to the LAFCO Commission, and we've been working with your interim general manager to get the information that we need. Dan has been very cooperative, and we're still in need of some information, but we have enough to do an adequate job on the staff report and a good job on the staff report. The 3 additional weeks, I think, will help. So we're looking forward to getting a few things, but Dan has been very cooperative.
Thank you. And as far as during the hearing itself, our board has an opportunity to speak?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Director Tacker?
Hi, Paul. I'd like to know when you expect your staff report to be available.
It will be at least 1 week prior to the hearing. We'll try and get it out the Monday, the preceding week. At the very latest, it'll be out on Wednesday.
Okay.
It'll be about a week and a half, hopefully, before the meeting.
Okay. Another question I had, you mentioned that you recommend that the public submit written comment if it's going to be lengthy or longer than 2 minutes, or maybe if they're unavailable. Are you going to give a deadline for those submissions, or can they submit their comments the day of the hearing?
Well, that boards and commissions and councils and don't like to receive comments at the last minute, so I think at least a week ahead of time so that we have adequate time to make copies and hand those out. The one thing that my commission doesn't like, and you're probably the same way, is they get a big stack of information.
Her part in helping the commission form a decision, how her history with the project and in a lot of the dealings here might have on the outcome one way or the other. Is that a concern that might cause her to separate herself from the decision?
It's entirely up to Supervisor Bianchi. She has no legal reason to do that. She may want to, if she's considering that, talk to county council and get some advice. But as far as being party to the decision that's made at LAFCO, there's no reason that she would have to abstain or recuse herself from the commission on that day dealing with this issue. So it's entirely up to commissioner, in this case, Bianchi, as to what role she plays.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions from the board or staff? Mr. Blesky?
If I could just make one comment, I'd really like to thank Mr. Hood for being here. And I can attest that as we've worked through this process, the scope of questions that his staff has asked, not only myself, but other members of certain committees and other members of the public can attest to in assembling data, that they are working very hard to get all the facts completely in front of their commission. And I'd just like to thank him for the effort and also your patience, too. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Yes, thank you.
Appreciate that.
Yes, and Mr. Hood, just from me as well, I have nothing but praise for your staff and the way you've been handling the issue and the way you've been working with us and asking for information and being willing to meet and talk with everybody. And so my only final question would be if people have additional questions, because I know you have to go before we have the comment, how was the best way for other people to reach you with questions at this time?
Probably the best way is by email. Our website is www.slolafco.com, slolafco.com, and there are links to all the staff on that website. So just click on the website and email me with your comments. We also have a mailing address on the website, so if you wish to mail something, any member of the public can mail that to us or hand deliver it to our office, which is at 1042 Pacific Street, Suite A in San Luis Obispo. phone calls work too, but sometimes we're busy and you know, it's hard to drop everything and get on the phone. Particularly in this case, we are extremely busy right now with this proposal.
Okay, thank you very much for coming. Much appreciate your presence tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to continue with the meeting at this time. On the agenda, it says that we have another presentation about the EPA guidelines for septic management and the Los Osos Community Services District. This was the presentation that I presented last week, and I just wanted you to know that I'm not going to be giving that show again tonight or that PowerPoint. But just to let you know that we are looking at these EPA guidelines. We have, we do think that they have merit, and they were produced, and they're. This is an essential part of our water, holistic water, wastewater plan for the town. And there is a third presentation that we were planning to have tonight. This is very exciting for me. This is a presentation that's going to be given by Terry Benko. And she can't be here tonight because she's in a class in Los Angeles, but she has a proposal that we would like to hear about, and we want you to hear about it too, called Community Unity and Peace Project. And it's just a method, and she has a proposal for coming together, having an opportunity for citizens and community for coming together. And I want her to give the presentation or a representative from her group. And she has, I've asked her to come and present, but she can't be here tonight, so we're going to postpone that presentation as well. So we're going to move on to the oral administrative reports. And I'll turn that over to Mr. Bleski.
Madam Chair, I'd like to just change the order on 1 and 2 and just start off with our written administrative reports so we can get through those rather quickly. One of the things you'll notice in your package, there is, as we discussed at the last meeting, as requested by Director Tacker, is that we have a status on the Farbstein intent to serve letter for water service. And I think that you can see from it also contains, it's prepared by Mr. John Seitz, who had handled this before. And he has presented certain future considerations that we need to consider because of the various items we discussed, particularly the county's looking at the resource availability for the basin, also certain coastal commission and other issues related to sustainability and the impact on overdraft that right now is suspected or has been confirmed, but the county's studying. I believe Mr. Seitz is going to be updating this if he hasn't already and left copies on the side table. And with that, I can answer any questions to the best of my ability on this. Didn't have Mr. Seitz here to discuss it, but we'll be continuing to provide these updates with the intention of really concentrating this after July 1 when we're able to get the budget out, just for time's sake and staff availability. But the reports will continue to come forward.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the board this time? An update on Farbstein, continuing updates. Let's get the budget going. Staff commitments and priorities first.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? Okay, thank you. Next report would be from Chief Benares. Welcome.
Good evening, Madam President, members of the board. In public. Reviewing the April 2006 monthly report. In the month of April, we had 88 calls. Four of those were simultaneous. Three of the simultaneous calls required advanced life support by your paramedics. Of those 88, 61 were medical aids, and 25 of those required advanced life support, and five of them were reported as fires. So a fairly average month. We're still on track for a slightly higher number. Also in the month of April, Dick Sargent left the Emergency Services Committee. Dick had been a member of that committee since 2002. He's a former firefighter. His input will be missed. I strongly ask that as he sees issues arise, he continues to support the Emergency Services Committee by attending as a private citizen. So we lost Mr. Sargent. As far as outreach, in the month of April, we did the open house. I believe we covered that very well the last month or two, so I'll skip over that. Again, we did some trench rescue stuff, and you see there we received the thermal imaging camera, which you have seen now, and so I'll pass over that. Some of the special programs and projects we've been working on would be the hazard abatement program for 2006. We've gone through and we've done all the training. The folks went out and did the inspections here a couple weeks ago. Those letters went out looking at the numbers between last year and this year. Statistically, we're very similar to last year. I think we're only about 30 or 40 more letters that we sent out this year than last year. Approximately 600 of all the occupancies and residences that we inspected in the CSD. So I'm very happy with that. Guys have been out doing some hydrants maintenance and looking at lots as they get cleared here in the last couple weeks. And so we anticipate of those 600, approximately 300 or so have been mitigated in the last couple weeks. As you know, June 1st is the deadline for hazard abatement as set in the fire code of Los Osos. And so we're hoping that they're all done here shortly. The inspectors will be back out next week to do a second pass through and verify that everyone is doing their weed abatement. So I hope that people continue and that in next time we come back through, we'll be able to report that all the hazards have been abated and we're doing very good. We do know and realize that with the late spring rains we had, a lot of the grass is still growing. And so we're working with homeowners, and we're trying to assist them and not be total tearing about this. So we're on track to do a second inspection next week, and we'll follow up from there. That concludes my report. Is there anything else I can answer for you? Excuse me.
Any questions, Director Tacker?
Thank you, Chief.
Yep.
I received my first hazard abatement notice ever.
There you go.
This time.
Did I? I was going to say, did you deserve it?
Did I deserve it? That's a good question.
Put you on
question.
The spot, sorry.
That's a good question. I have a tenant that I thought was managing that or handling that. So I did call Erica. She was quite helpful to explain that the June 1 was the deadline and that the inspections would then start next week, but that if there was a question that anyone could call, anyone who's received a notice could call the station. You guys could come out, take a look, help direct the property owner to what is of concern to you and what they should be working on. And that it's not a scary thing to get one of these notices, even though I was a little taken aback. Wait a minute. I've never gotten one of those before. So what is the process? What would happen?
We have two reserve files. So a lot of our inspections are going out and just validating that, yes, your lot is good, and we're removing them from the system. So please call if you believe that your lot is clean. We'll come out either way, and if we show up and, yeah, there's some still cleanup that you need to do, they'll point it out to you. If you call 528-1053, the fire station, and make an appointment, usually within 4 hours, I'll have somebody out there to do that. So call the station. We'd love to come out and, because our goal is to remove the hazards and to assist the landowner to clear their lot, make it fire safe in an environmentally friendly way to protect the environment as well.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, ask anything else?
Director Sassanian?
Chief Anaris, I know that your program's working because Monday night I loaned out my weed eater to a friend, and last night until about 8:30 I was listening to another neighbor's. And so today being the deadline, that explains last night.
Good.
That's right. Any other questions, comments from the board? Thank you for the report.
It's probably important to note that the program that you have adopted and that we are enforcing here is very similar to what's going on in the other communities around there. And so as a lot of the questions we're getting is, why is it different this year? And it really isn't different. It's just being enforced this year. And it's the same program that as we draw parallels, Morro Bay, San Luis, the five cities, even Atascadero. So it's a tried and true program. It's proven, and so we're very happy with it. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next report is from Utility Manager. Is Mr. Melendez here?
Mr. Milano's not here, but I would be more than happy to go over any questions you might have on his written report.
Okay. Anybody have any of the board members have questions on Mr. Milano's written report? Director Tacker? Anybody else? Okay. No questions from... Right, Director Tacker has a question.
Do you have an update on the constituency testing that was done? I can't remember. Contract 12, maybe?
With Cleef, they have completed that. I believe the fifth well is in now, and they're preparing the final report to be presented to you. There is one other piece of information on here that I don't know if it got in, but on the Farrell well, when we went out to inspect the well as part of our assessment for consideration of blending is all part of that. We found that the existing well casing is beyond repair and recapture, and therefore we're looking at having to drill a parallel well, and we're assembling the cost of that for your consideration and to see what that buys us. So it's all part of those studies, that series of studies.
That's contract 12, is that what you say?
I believe it's one of the double-digit ones.
Yeah.
It's listed under contract number 11.
Okay.
And I believe that amount that we're seeing for that well is going to be. Let's see if we have it here. Actually, it might be 11 and 12. They're kind of combined. And I believe you're going to be seeing a well that'll come in. Well over $100,000 if we've got to sink a new tube. Do it, and it will be released shortly, early next week, as part of a staff report. The other thing is the contract's been completed with In Situ. As you recall, In Situ is going to be doing our septic management program and evaluating alternate technologies for their applicability to the Vista de Oro and Bay Ridge systems to help us to understand if that can serve us as a mitigating measure as part of the ACL complaint by the regional board. We did receive our fiscal year 2005 audit. Yes, it normally comes in January, but due to a number of issues internal to staff, we have gotten that audit now, and I just want to thank Mr. Bob Crosby for putting up with a whole lot of changes that we would like to do, that we wanted to do and chose to do, so that the audit should be a lot more accurate. Also, as part of that effort, with Anna Jane Hugh, who the board brought in as the temporary accountant, she was able to go in and clean up a lot of the computer program and help the staff to rely more and to develop their skills more in the accounting software that was purchased a couple of years ago. So I'd like to thank Mr. Crosby for getting that finished. We received that late Friday, and if you need a copy, please come down, and we'll have copies made for those of you who are interested. Also would like to report that as far as our frozen funds, our court-appointed auditor, although the court took a little bit of time, more than I would have liked to see, and I think they were 2.5 months or 2 months. But we did meet with the auditor, and very good meeting. What I was most impressed, well, first of all, the firm that's doing it, and you got to forgive me, I didn't bring Alan's card, very highly regarded throughout California and very, very large presence here in San Luis Obispo County. A lot of integrity on their part, so it's good to have them aboard. What impressed me most was the initial questions they asked. There was almost an immediate grasp of some of the situations that we've known for some time, and so it was a good exchange. And he's going to do his job, and he's going to do it well for the court. And what he publishes, you can count on. Although I think that he will confirm fairly closely with what we've already provided you. For those who are interested, we have completed a cash balance, cash accounts balance sheets. We had Anna Jane Hugh was working on that, and we brought Kathleen in, and within the first 7 days, she has completed that, and with staff's assistance and all of our financial institutions. Her goal to produce that within the first 3 days on board was completed, and she has the ability now to run cash balances daily. So we do have redacted copies. What I mean by that is we take the account numbers off, and you can see what funds we have and the characterization of those funds, basically if they're frozen or not, some of the things that we've been getting a lot of questions from the public on. So that's available for you at the CSD. On the construction contract problems that we've had right now, the budget is moving along. It's good to have a central focus with the interim administrative services manager on board. We have now done four of the funds, essentially the parks fund, which is very straightforward, the drainage fund, and what was the other one we discussed? Oh, solid waste. We've got those conceptually accepted by the finance committee. They will be recommended later when we have completed all the other accounts. We are going to be doing our administrative overlay before we can make any recommendations on a final budget. Those accounts seem to be in fairly good order. But I would encourage folks who are interested, we have our next finance committee meeting, and I'll let finance report on this. I don't want to take away anybody's thunder, on Monday night at 5:30. And we are meeting, our next meetings are scheduled after that, so we have a series of regular meetings because it's budget time. The input that staff has received from the Finance Committee has been immeasurable. It's just been very, very pointed, very, very helpful, and also members of the public. And I would encourage anybody, no matter how they feel about what the issues are, is to come on down and help out, because there's a lot of history that a lot of folks in town have put into this process to make the budgeting, I think, a lot more understandable. This year we're using histograms and using 5 years of comparative analysis of past spending practices and looking at making some cuts in areas that don't affect services. Basically, we're looking at tightening up our admin budget, and we'll be bringing that. That's just our general philosophy. I'd like to thank staff, too, for doing some quick turnarounds, because it's real dynamic, and our committee chair, Mr. Golden, is extremely demanding. Yeah, absolutely. he loves his town, and we're here to serve. But he's good, and he's very helpful, as are the other members. Moving on from budget, we'll be bringing that to you. Our objective is to bring that the third week for the draft budget for consideration, public hearing, and have it adopted by the end of the month. SRF loan application. We did in your package this evening, and I will wait till the Wastewater Committee makes their report, because they worked hand-in-hand with us to, they took the lion's share of getting it out. And they have put a SRF loan application out. And in your package this evening, we do have a ratification of a resolution to adopt in support of that. I'll leave the details to the Wastewater Committee. Also, not to take away thunder from the Grants and Loans Committee, the Morro Bay Estuary, Mr. Dan Berman, has worked with that committee. They'll fill you on the details for grant opportunities there, and they extended their hand in helping us out. But more to come. And with that, I'd answer any questions you may have. I know there's a lot of things probably on your mind that I may not have gone over. Those are the highlights.
Thank you for that very thorough report. Appreciate it. Who would have some questions? Any board members have questions at this time? That pretty much summarized the numerous and multitude for someone we've lost this week that's very dear to many of us last week.
Thank you. Good evening. This is a special week. We lost Ed Schaefer, who was a community volunteer for 20 years and loved his community, loved his family, and loved his country. And you're supposed to be shooting his pictures, not mine. If you will, please. Can we have Ed Schaefer's pictures? You're getting it? Okay. Ed has two homes here and has three sons and a daughter, and leaves his wife, Crystal, He was a great friend to all of us, and we owe him a great deal. And he served his country in the defense industry for his whole career. So we would like to extend our thanks to his family for sharing him with us, because they literally did that, and they opened their pocketbooks, and we love them all very much. Thank you very much for that opportunity.
Yes, thank you. Would anyone like to say any words about Mr. Schaefer?
Lindy Owen, I just wanted to say that Ed Schaefer was one of those very special people who went out and fought and did what he really believed in. And whether you like which side he was on or not, he was there for everybody. And he always had a discussion available if anybody wanted to talk. And he worked very hard for many things in this community. And from what I hear, he was there for everybody in his neighborhood. And if anybody needed Ed, they could call on him. So we did lose a very special person. I think he was a great mentor for many of us. We'll miss him.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I would like to thank you for the presentation, and my heart goes out to his family, and he was very dear to me too. He always had a smile on his face and was such a hard worker, and I have very fond memories, so thank you. Okay, continuing on with our agenda, on to the committee reports. Do I have a report from the Wastewater Committee? Anyone? Vice President Fouché?
That was given at our last meeting. We haven't had a meeting since then. Okay.
Are there any? Ms. McPherson, did you have anything you wanted to add about Wastewater Committee activities? For upcoming or otherwise?
Yes, unfortunately, the taste of the Bay, the event on the 6th, South Bay, taste of South Bay. Well, anyway, we're going to be in a wastewater committee getting a taste of the wastewater project. And if anyone wants to run some food or wine over to us, that would be really appreciated, unfortunately. But it's a good thing that we're going to be seeing that. That's the committee meeting at 6:30 this next Tuesday, the 6th. And that is the primary item on the agenda.
But we reviewed the rate study and found that there were a lot of flaws and problems with it. Just on its premise, it was wrong. And some of the calculations they came up were based on bimonthly, which were actually monthly, so the actual conclusion was incorrect. So we invited Mr. Tuckfield to come to the next Water Ops meeting on the 14th, which he's going to his. We've extended the invitation, and he's going to be there so that he can respond to the questions that we have regarding that report. Secondly, George reported that there was some software errors concerning we had over 30% unaccounted water. He's now confirmed we're at 5%. So that's a major difference. We also discussed briefly on the backhoe. The data that he brought to us was from August of 2005. Back then, there was an offer by John Deere of 0% financing for 36 months. We thought that that would be way better to go with a low-interest loan in a short term than to be financing under the iBank loan for 30 years, because you pay a lot more for that backhoe. So that's something that's going to be brought to finance and to your board next meeting. And also, the other thing that's coming up, we're going to discuss the Tuckfield report. Also, we're going to be reviewing all the crew logs for a month of all the crew members, each one of them, what they're doing during the day for a month's time. And I believe that's it. Thank
you. From the board? Vice President?
I just want to make one clarification on the Tuckfield report. We're saying there's an appearance that there were some mistakes in the last report, and we want to get that clarified. So that's, I just want to make that clear. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Finance Committee, Director Sennett.
Yes, thank you. I Dan pretty much covered our most important focus, and that is preparing the new budgets. I'd like to thank him and Kathleen Schumann, our new staff service manager, for a really dedication and an extraordinary effort in getting the finance and budget in a form that's verifiable and realistic. Finding the balance, the cash balance, is a huge thing. They worked hard and long on that. We met today. We met on the 23rd last month. We're putting in an extra effort to try to get these things resolved. And as he reported, we gave conceptual approval of the new budgets, pending the final determination of administrative overhead applied to each one. So that's what we're basically focusing on right now. There are some other issues, but right now we want to get that put away, and that's the prime focus right now. And I'd also like to repeat what Dan said, that it's important if you're concerned.
The number one issue that was brought from the Environmental Committee to the board after our last meeting is that we somehow asked the Finance Committee to find us money to hire an environmental consultant to keep up with our project report. That's probably our biggest issue.
Thank you. Director Tacker for Emergency Services.
I first would like to apologize to our chair, John Stevens. I did invite him to come and make this report and then failed to send him a follow-up reminder. So he's not here. I don't see him in the room. I'll announce that we are having a special Emergency Services Committee meeting on June 12 at 5 p.m. That's Monday, June 12 at 5 p.m. to go over the budget for the fire department. And that's at the fire station. Our next regular meeting is Tuesday, June 20 at 5 p.m. at the fire station. And again, I'll underscore what Phil Venera said, and that we have an opening for a committee member, and applications are available at the district office. And I'll invite Mr. Stevens to come back and report maybe next time or the time after. So I promise to follow up with a reminder to our chair. So that's it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Any questions on that? Moving on to ad hoc committee reports. Any brief reports from grants and funding? Ms. Mendetti?
Just a quick report to let you know that we have continued to be meeting. Our last meeting was this Tuesday on the 30th. We also met twice, two other times in the month of May. We will continue to meet just so that the public realizes they are welcome to come to these meetings. We meet regularly on the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month at 6:30. The second Tuesday of the month typically will be held at my house. So if you do want to come to that meeting, please call the CSD office, and they'll convey that to me, and we'll make sure that you have arrangements. The fourth Tuesday of the month, we will be meeting at Coast National Bank, so you can drop in without having to call at all. Again, that's at 6:30. Our recent activity has primarily, the most recent activity has been focused around the grant deadline, which is tomorrow for the Morro Bay National Estuary Program. And I'm very pleased to report that we did submit that grant. We got that in today, thanks to the help of all the folks who contributed to that language and making that grant happen. And just to let you know what that was about, we were working on our strategy. Dan Berman was most helpful to us in coaching us along those lines, and decided to submit one application rather than multiple applications. We submitted an application that essentially was an update and an enhancement to the 8th Street filter backwash project. Previously, we had submitted that grant request to them about 3 years ago for the amount of $5,000. It was a mini grant. and the total cost of the project at that point was about $30,000. Well, we've enhanced that program. We've added 10,000-gallon water storage tanks, two of them. We've increased the scope, and the cost has increased to $70,000. So we changed the shape of the grant.
Where staff, George's crew, went out, and we basically met, I think, John and Director Fouché and Director Cesena when Regional at that one meeting was asking us about the monitoring. And so I knew that they had a lot of interest, and as a matter of fact, we now have to monitor those discharges into the estuary. They have been doing that unbeknownst to Regional. It was done so that the utilities crews could just speak intelligently of what was coming out of there. And I'm happy to report that it meets all the requirements that the Regional Board has for the goals for the estuary. But they do have interest in keeping on that, and as the Regional Board moves forward with trying to make sure that they can collect all of these smaller projects and get them all cleaned up. And this is a great way to get it done, so I really have to thank the Grants Committee for moving forward with that for us.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Vendetti. Yes. Okay, Community Outreach, Director Decker.
We continued with Pat Renshaw working on getting directors into a little television clip for the community. And then we've continued to meet. Our meetings are on Friday nights at 6 o'clock at the district office, if you'd like to come down, most Friday nights. And then as luck would have it, I was invited to appear before the Morro Bay Los Osos Lions Club last Thursday. Kind of a mixed crowd as far as their education on the wastewater project, and of course that's what their questions revolved around. It was my pleasure to be served a nice dinner. I received a lovely ballpoint pen for speaking before their club. And then as luck would have it, let's see, the Taylors can help me. Buzz Kidwell was in the room. that's a former supervisor from the 1970s who said, well, we wanted to bring a sewer to Los Osos, and we tried. And so we did get to talk about the many, many years that have gone on and plagued Los Osos with the saga. But and I did give him my card and said, if you have any new ideas, give me a call. But it was kind of interesting to have a new board member and a very long time ago board of supervisor in the same room discussing a very familiar issue. So, but that is... was my activity as far as some outreach across the bay. So.
Thank you. Thank you for that report. The next ad hoc committee report is LAFCO and County Liaison. And I don't know if Mr. and Mrs. Cooper, do you have anything you'd like to report? Bo, why don't you say a few words? That committee has been working with LAFCO, trying to make sure they get information.
I was just going to do kind of a side...
for gathering so much of that information and preparing that report, and it was an ad hoc committee report that was addressed to LAFCO to address some of their concerns, and it was very helpful. Regional Water Board negotiating team, anything to report? Yeah. Haven't met yet this month.
We haven't met with the Water Board since our last report. We have a meeting scheduled for next week, 7th.
Great, thank you. So ongoing and continuing. And RAC? Hasn't met either? No. Okay. And nothing to report on the Water Resources Advisory Committee, and no updates on the Morro Bay Estuary Program either, I don't believe, other than what Mrs. Vendetti also already reported. So that concludes our committee reports. We do have a lot of them now, as you can tell, and a great amount of citizen participation, which is great. So let's go on to the consent items and turn it over again to Mr. Blesky. We're pulling 6.
Yes, Madam President. I think that I'm not
Sure. On item 7, I just have to ask if that's on consent, if the chief needs anything other than he just wants this on consent, just to confirm that one last time.
Okay. Any questions or comments from the board at this time? We'll open it up to public comment on the presentations and the oral and written reports and the consent calendar. Okay. Anybody who would like to speak, come on up. Come on up.
Hi, I'm Dave Dubink, 1147 9th Street. And one of the things that's absolutely delightful is to have you addressing issues that did not have to do with wastewater treatment. I wanted to talk about the Farbstein-Edwards project. I just mention one thing. This thing has been on hold since essentially you came on duty, and it's nice to see it now there. Months ago, I sent materials on this to the board, which were concerning the history of the project, and I just wish to have officially acknowledged a request from people in the community that have been concerned about this project that they will have an opportunity to talk with Mr. Blesky or whoever the current people dealing with this on the board about the rather tangled history to this project before it actually comes to the board again for a public hearing. I noted going through the files that there have been conversations between Mr. Edwards, who's the representative on this, the attorney for Mr. Farbstein, and the staff that have led to some changes in the proposals. And these are things that I think should be brought to the surface for public comment. So I'd just like the board to direct the staff to talk to the community a little bit before this thing actually comes to you for a decision. Oh, I might add that I have read Mr. Seitz's recommendation. It looks entirely appropriate.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, Mr. Ricano?
Honorable staff and board, Joey Ricano, Ocean Outfall Group. I did want to comment on the LAFCO presentation, if that's appropriate. I had an opportunity to speak with the LAFCO representative upon his departure, and I thought it was important that I mention to him that there was room and watch a board over and over again just not listening to the people. I came here to speak one night, and I remember waiting till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning to be able to speak. It was absolutely unacceptable. Well, what happened was the people rose up, and even though these people controlled Channel 20, etc., we turned around and we took back that authority from these people through the initiative process, which is ours to do under the Constitution of the United States of America. Now, LAFCO is looking to be a part of the process and maybe mix the legislative, the judicial. I'm not sure exactly what they intend to do, but I did want to let this person know that the nation was watching because there were national implications, and these were constitutional issues of the people's right to control their own destiny through the initiative process, exercising the Constitution. And so what we need to do here is remember that Taxpayers Watch has LAFCO here. Taxpayers Watch, by and large, is made up of people who were recalled for not being responsive to us. So I think that my message got across. I said it in a respectful fashion. And I think that it's important that people understand that this has national implications, that the people are in control of their own destiny, that the Constitution of the United States has allowed for the initiative process for us to retain control of our own destiny, especially when those that we have delegated power to need it rescinded from them. And that is what we have done here. So we'll be watching LAFCO closely. I thank you for this opportunity to address you tonight.
Thank you. Okay, could I have the next speaker? Okay, I'm trying to go back to our old rules of applause because I'm getting looks from my fellow board members to remember my own rules. But thank you, Mr. Ricano, for your comments, and Mr. Moylan, you're next.
I'd like to follow up. My name is Bill Moylan. I live in Los Osos. I'd like to follow up on what Mr. Ricano just said, and that is that anyone in this room and anyone that may be watching this program, to please show up at the June 15th LAFCO hearing. And
it got, hold on. Hey, everybody.
I'm sorry. Let me restate that.
I can fix that for him if you don't mind.
Please show up at the July 6th LAFCO hearing. I came in a little bit late. And let them know how you feel about local government. Just sitting here watching you people, watching the process, listening to the committee members speak, it made me feel very, very good. And I would feel very, very bad if we did not have local government continue in this community. So please, all of you that are listening here tonight and also in TV land, please show up and voice your concerns about keeping our community locally governed. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, could I have the next speaker, please? And remember, you can always do this when you feel like you like the speakers. We have our hand waves.
Hey, I second the motion. My name's Al Barrell. And boy, we had such a tough time getting a CSD. I think it was tried a couple times and finally in 1998, three times. So the third time was a charm.
The regional board, the state board, and the county sent to LAFCO, this is from their files, the regional board said, quote, through a lengthy and public process, the CSD developed, the old CSD, developed a technically, environmentally, and financially sound project that won at Tri-W. This is not the case. This is a lie. This is Mr. Briggs's words. Also, he says further on in the letter, quote, CSD representatives have stated that they are going to apply for another SRF loan for the new wastewater project. We believe any wastewater project implemented by the CSD will be significantly more expensive and may not be eligible for state loans or grants. We're a priority A project. This also is bullshit. The state letter from the State Water Board talks about several points for consideration that the LAFCO should consider, which includes number four, the current enforcement action by the Regional Water Board against district and individual property owners should be considered in determining which agency can best serve the citizens of Los Osos. They seem to be pushing for the county and the dissolution of our board. I resent that. And finally, the county letter from Gail Wilcox, the two options that were presented originally by LAFCO, by Mr. Hood, divestiture or joint powers agreement. The county is really confused about the divestiture. There's a lot of, we don't understand these issues. You need to elaborate a lot more than we have. So they're certainly not for that issue at this point. In terms of the joint powers agreement, Gail Wilcox writes, quote, we cannot envision circumstances under which we would recommend the JPA, joint powers agreement, between the county and the district. We cannot envision circumstances under which we would recommend a JPA between the county and the district. We will not recommend that the Board of Supervisors delegate any authority to a JPA governing board for a community wastewater project, given the potential liabilities the county would face. I continue to think that our CSD, our board, is the way to go. I think the people are competent, are able, and the ability to get a really good project, a project that we want, is in our hands, and I really hope it stays in our hands, and yay for us. Thank you.
Please. Next speaker. Thank you, though. Okay. Ms. Miller.
Hi, I'm Vita Miller. I live in Los Osos. And we can speak on the consent agenda. But I wanted to make a comment. I'm not sure I was understanding what Mr. Cooper, where he was reading from, but the comments by Mr. Briggs. It sounds like he's voicing his opinion about whether or not Los Osos should have a CSD. Is he doing that in his official capacity as the director of the Regional Water Quality Control Board? Is that in his domain to make decisions like that? Whether or not Los Osos should have a CSD, I would seriously question it. I'd like to see what his duties are. I'd like to have a list of his job. Required of him in his job, and I'd like to question whether or not he even, as a private citizen, of course he can, just like all of us, he can express an opinion. But if he's doing that in official capacity, I really think that needs to be questioned. And of course I support all of you, and of course it's ridiculous, the idea of dissolving our CSD. Maybe I can get an answer.
Currently right now our current project plan is being modified and updated. So
and the Wastewater Committee was working on with the State Water Resources Control Board, the Division of Financial Assistance, and they encouraged us to go ahead and submit the application as we had, as staff had already received direction back in February to do so. So we're submitting. They're going to make a determination if we're eligible. And this resolution is to ratify, to serve as part of that application package. We're going to be ratifying that this evening.
Okay. Yes, and just a little bit to add on, Mrs. Miller. We did vote on February 9th to get in line for another state revolving fund loan, and they required a resolution. And so the resolution is tonight's part of that February 9th activity, and it's a placeholder, and that's all it is right now. It's a placeholder to make sure we're on the list because there is talk about the state revolving funds going away, that the federal government will pull the program. So we wanted to make sure we had a placeholder no matter what we end up doing. And then the item that you asked questions about from Mr. Cooper, that is an official response to the LAFCO, request for information prepared by the Regional Water Quality Control Board. And it is public record, and we have copies. And you can get copies from LAFCO as well. Okay, who else would like to speak? Next speaker, Mr. Jones.
Michael Jones, Los Osos, and I'd like to speak to the LAFCO dissolution situation. I hope everybody had a nice, relaxing Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day has meaning to all. To some, it's a day off. To others, it's a promise of backyard barbecues, bare feet, and long summer days. This year, I had a very somber, peaceful, and reflective weekend, but I could not, without a tearful eye, think of Normandy, Bastogne, Okinawa, Iwo Jima, Antietam. The list goes on and on and on and on. I could not help but think of the hallowed souls that shed their blood and gave their lives to ensure our freedom and our right to vote. On November 2, 2004, President Schicker received over 5,000 votes and Director Tacker received over 4,000 votes. On September 27, 2005, Directors Fouché, Cecina, Sinnott averaged over 3,400 votes across the board. All five of these elected representatives who sit before us ran against the Tri-W project and for an out-of-town wastewater facility. The validity of Measure B is being argued, but the community of Los Osos cast over close to 3,300 votes for an out-of-town project when they voted to adopt Measure B. Now taxpayers watch, the special interest group that lost the election has gathered some 1,600 certified signatures in an attempt to overturn the election and usurp the will of the people. Over the last 20 months, between 3,400 to over 5,000 people have voted six times and cast over 22,000 votes for an out-of-town wastewater facility. The community of Los Osos has voted. And with a tear in my eye, all I can think about is the blood that was shed in Europe, the Pacific, Asia, the Middle East, and the Middle East for our right to cast these votes. But all numbers aside, there is a huge difference between the significance of signatures gathered on a petition and the number. They closed the curtain behind them, and they let their voice be heard. The action of going to the store to buy groceries or having someone approach you for a signature is reactive and very much different from the proactive action of going to the polls on election day to cast a vote. My hope is that LAFCO will recognize and weight these actions accordingly. And I had some questions for Paul Hood, but I'll do that via email or something. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Up. Watch the applause, please. Ms. Cooper. Fair to everybody.
Hi. Lacey Cooper, Los Osos Prohibition Zone. Weed abatement recipient. I have blisters now. I did it. Bo and I did it. Let's see. I wanted to give the address, the email address of Paul Hood, so people want to write him letters before the end of June. It's P. Hood, H-O-O-D, at, the little at with the circle, S-L-O, LAFCO, so it's S-L-O-L-A-F-C-O.com. And you can also call 788-2096. And David Church, who is the staff of LAFCO, will be happy to answer your questions. And if you want to email him, it's dchurch, also at slowlafco.com. And I think that'd be a good thing to express your feelings about wanting to retain the CSD and wanting them to retain control of the wastewater project. They need to hear that. Also, if you want to contact the LAFCO commissioners, there I have a list here. If you want to talk to me during a break, I can give you a list of them. Also, you can get that at the LAFCO office. It has a list of, you know, where all they work, and you know, you can write them. Some have emails. You can call them. So that would be good too. We need everyone's support. Obviously, I feel strongly about it, and the more I research, the more I realize that the people who want to dissolve, they think it'll be financially beneficial. Well, it's just the opposite. It'll be a lot more expensive if they're trying to go back to Tri-W, which concrete has doubled in the last year, and that was a concrete heaven. I mean, it was a lot of concrete there. And for a lot of reasons I won't go into now, it'd be more expensive now and down the line. And so people really should contact the directors, people who are supporting dissolution, to really get the facts. Because the Taxpayers Watch were able to get, I believe, a lot of those signatures because they weren't telling the facts. And they were just putting out a lot of, they continue to put out a lot of scare numbers. And they're also putting out that all the services are in danger. They're, you know, that, and they're not. You're getting full services. Nothing's in danger. And the CSD has not cost anybody $60 million. That's a made-up number, and I can, maybe in public comment I'll tell you how they came up with that, but thank you. And support your local CSD, please.
Thank you, Ms. Cooper. Okay, who's next? Mr. Bearden.
Don Bearden, Los Osos Prohibition Zone. I'm sick of CSDs. We've had CSDs. The previous CSD got us in this mess, and this CSD is doing no better. The best thing we can do is dissolve CSDs.
Please.
Thank you very much.
Hold on a second now.
The previous CSD got us into this thing, and you guys have done no better. And I listen to your supporters, and they're doing no better either. The best thing we can do is dissolve the CSD, give it back to the county. The county would have had a CSD, would have had a sewer system built out of town in 1998 or started at least. This is a travesty. The longer we delay, the longer it's going to cost us more money. Dissolve the CSD. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next speaker, please. Mr. Payne.
Good evening again, board, staff, public here at home. Right off, I want to agree with everything that Michael Jones said. The vote is the most important thing we've got, and we've got to protect it. Looking back at the history of things, we had a vote, and we had enough signatures to start a recall election. And the board that was being recalled and the judicial system and the water board, state and local, and who knows how many other people did everything they could to put us as far in debt as possible with a project we didn't want that was too expensive and should never have been started. We had a lawsuit. It was a lawsuit for a 218 vote for the property owners to vote on that. We also had an initiative at the same time of the recall to have a vote. Now I got a new CSD that I helped get in office that is in partnership with the state against our having a 218 vote. I've asked time and again to settle that out. We've lost two attorneys out of Cambria, Parker and Ollie, over it. The lawsuit is alive and well. There was at the same time a request for a temporary restraining order, which would have been 90 days under any circumstances in a legal situation where irreparable damage would be done, a temporary restraining order is given. We only needed 27 days, 30 days. We only had to recall one member. You know, what they've done to us is more criminal than anything that could be done. And the State Water Board, the judicial system, the local regional water quality control board, all of them are in collusion with a major international sewer building company that's here to swindle this community, and I will not stand for it, and I'm going out now to start in raising legal fund to fight you and the state for our right to have a 218 vote. And the vote is what it's about. People died for that for us. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, Mr. Swanson.
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. LAFCO, Local Agency Formation Commission. It's not, well, it wouldn't be deformation, but it's just, I think the public needs to understand that 10% of the registered voters were required to sign the petition, and 25%, if they vote for dissolution, of signatures have to be acquired in order to put it to a vote. Something is completely backwards there. Plus, I think, you know, maybe Bo and Lacey can enlighten me, but it seems that the proposal that they came up with circumvents that opportunity to actually gather signatures if we go that way, because they're just giving us two options. And I thought that, and I think the county letter actually addressed that, is that, you know, your hearing is for either to dissolve or not to dissolve the CSD. And the Regional Water Quality Control Board, well, they still don't understand what conflict of interest is. And the letter certainly reflects that. I think Piranha should give Mr. Bearden. Mr. Bearden needs a piranha. maybe they make one for the head, too. I don't know. I'm curious about the SRF application. The Wastewater Committee meeting was last month, and when was this application actually completed and submitted? And when was that all put together? Because it was a Wastewater Committee that apparently put it together. And I ask you guys, because whether there's a dissolution or not, you need to be proactive and be working with the county ASAP, talking to everybody over there and working on, because frankly, that's who you're going to have to work with. And there's going to have to be some give and take. We've been through this with Blakeslee, but this is a different opportunity. I think it's a greater opportunity to have a project that you want in cooperation with the county and with their assistance in helping acquire the funding to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blesky.
Just for the speaker's information, is yes, we had the Wastewater Committee assist staff on this just because of the, well, for a number of reasons, but the sheer volume of the weight we're under right now to assemble some data, and they were able to really move in and quickly get it done. Just a reminder is that the board did direct staff to do that back in February. One of the reasons that a determination was made is we have nothing to lose, because we have to remember we're not in default on that loan. Not until the courts say we're in default. We're going through the disputes process. So there's a technicality there that the powers that be that control the SRF loan are going to make a determination on, but they can't tell us no unless we ask. So
the prudent thing to do was to submit the documentation. That was done last Thursday or Friday. Thursday or Friday it went out. I don't recall exactly, but it was late last week. And so we're ratifying the resolution that was submitted to them in draft, getting it over to them tomorrow, and also to LAFCO. It's got to go over to LAFCO to help out. I hope that answered all the speaker's questions.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Perlman, are you next?
Thank you, Alan Perlman, LOCAC District 1, but here as a private citizen. And thanks to Don for sort of letting me focus, because I have a few loose ends here. I can't do Ronald Reagan, but if I could do Ronald Reagan, it sounds something like, well, there you go again, because it's a damn government. The government, don't trust any government that you can't impeach or recall, but as far as dissolution, that is truly the elimination of the, pretty much the level of government that is most accessible. And Ronald Reagan did a lot of things that I didn't agree with, but he definitely is famous for saying that he wanted, when he went to Washington, he wanted to bring the government back to the states, to the people. And that's the most important level of government. It's a government that people individually can have an effect on. Democracy, the real deal, not just the colors on the flag, but the actual things that they stand for. So that's my comment over there. I did want to say that as far as a water board, they are comprised of people who are, when you in the future meet with them, remember they are extremely weak on the science, but they are also using science as much as possible to save face. And one item I would like to point out is that in the discussions in the outfall at Morro Bay, they did state 14 years was a reasonable time to build, to upgrade a sewer, and they also used salinity as a measure of dispersal of pollution, even though salinity is not really a pollutant and doesn't reflect the true pollution. That would be the same as saying that once the fires are out in Chernobyl, that the danger is over. Salinity is an improper measure, and that is available if you were to watch the Morro Bay. And I suggest the lawyers do look into that, just in terms of the theatrics, which, of course, in law are just as important as all else. So thanks for the time to speak to you. There is an election coming up, and elections and democracy only work with the people. So hopefully people have made their choices and will participate. So thank you for letting me participate. Take care.
Thank you. Who else would like to speak? Ms. Renshaw?
Pat Renshaw, Los Osos. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the representation that we have in the supervisorial vote coming up. And I personally am going to vote for Judy Vick. I think she's a good choice for us. She feels personal about our community. She's from Los Osos, and I think by having someone on the Board of Supervisors that understands the problems that we have here in Los Osos and can address some of those issues is very important. I don't feel that the other two candidates have any real idea of what goes on here because they haven't shown up to speak, and Judy Vick has. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to remind the audience that we are having general public comment after the break. This is just for presentations and the consent calendar. Who else would like to speak on those items?
Good evening. Gail McPherson, Los Osos. I just wanted to comment. There were some questions about The speaker who was going to be talking about community unity, and if there is a proposal that can be this may be on the web page that can be looked at before the presentation, and if mediation is going to be part of the process, and that would be a question about that. And then the other comment that I just have, a short comment, has to do with the SRF loan. There were some questions about the SRF loan and why we would be applying for that without a project. Almost always when you have an idea for a project and you think you're going to build it, whether it be a purple pipe project or, well, a wastewater project or a pump station you want to build, you apply for those in a short form. And that short form, just for the public, is a planning document, and it gets you on a priority list. And so that was what was done in this case. And whether or not we want to continue to pursue that, it actually just puts your name on the list. There's many projects there that have been funded, not funded, but listed for a decade or more, but it keeps you as a placeholder. And the only other thing that I would ask is that if there is a possibility of this board entering into some sort of mediation process, I would think that would be something that Paul Hood should support. And I think that those kind of things are important, because just as in any other kind of a dissolution, whether it be a divorce or whatever, usually getting into some kind of a room together and talking about the differences, when you look, there's very few differences, and the CSD should be preserved. Local control is very, very important, and there's ways to do that. And that's all I have. Thanks.
Thanks very much. The brief answer to the question about the Unity Project is it's an art and public display project, and but it is a method of outreach and reaching out to both sides of the community to try to begin healing. And she can do a better job of explaining it than me, but I think it was a really great gesture, and I'm looking forward to her presentation. So, Mr. Sparks.
Joe Sparks, Los Osos. I mean, dissolution, the hearing shouldn't be approved at be approached as this horrible thing. It's a competency hearing. We should have had it in 1998 rather than talking about a solutions group. We should have talked about what a CSD meant. So it's about 8 years. It's about time we had this hearing. Local representation. The prohibition zone, the wastewater project, we don't have proportional representation. That would be something, a sanitation district run by the property owners. So no matter who ends up running it, we're not going to have proportional representation for the prohibition zone. There are reasons to give up the authority. There's a poor credit rating. There's the distinction between the prohibition zone property owners and the district electorate. There's the district's history, where the district has failed to construct a wastewater facility. That's a fact. The county has public works infrastructure. Of course, the reasons we want to keep the district, the water department. I don't care about the wastewater department, really. It's the water department that I think is more important in the long term for this district, and there's a good reason to keep the district. And maybe there's a middle ground there that we can get. The transition period doesn't help. We'd like to get the best of both worlds. So, I mean, people shouldn't be afraid. There's pros and cons. Anybody on one side that can't look at the other side and argue the case for it shouldn't even go to that hearing, because you're not thinking. Community unity, I have a proposal. Taxpayers should drop their liability suit against you. You should drop all this Measure B action, and you should fire Burke Williams Sorensen. That'll give you community unity. Okay, let's see what else I could do. Mr. Sennett, I'm a little confused. You're concerned about Shirley Bianchi with her history participating in the hearing. When you entered into settlement agreements last November, did you ask Director Tacker to recuse herself because of her past involvement with CCLO? So, I'm a little bit confused about where your mind is there. And hopefully, actually, we'll have a new supervisor, or they'll have a replacement for Bianchi. And I guess that's my time is up, isn't it? Oh. And again, another...
Shh, please.
I've said enough. Thanks.
Again, you know the back of the room, it's like an echo chamber up here. I can hear, like, everything, so... If you want to talk, there's a room back there or outside. You're welcome to go there. Who else wants to speak during this part time of the comment? Come on up. Hey.
evening, board, staff. I'd just like to comment on what Mr. Sparks just said. Julie Tacker didn't change the zoning on the prove the change of the zoning on the Tri-W property. The Planning Commission and Shirley Bianchi did that.
Thank you. Who else? Mr. Dugan, did you want to speak next? Keep it moving.
Dave Dugan, Los Osos. Water Ops Committee. It was a huge debate. We're still looking at tightening this ship up. I think utilities has really got tightened up, and we're talking about it. And lately, we've been trying to keep it non-political, and it's a good thing. Backhoe. I think it's a safety issue. I think you should have it on hand, be able to use anytime in emergency. I think we have to borrow from the iBank because we ain't going to be pulling cash out of this CSD. So it's a safety issue as well as if we hurt, if one of these guys get hurt working where they could have used the backhoe instead, or we're using the one we got, it's going to cost more money than buying the backhoe. Grants and funding are doing a good job, but I think it's really weak in that area because we haven't got anything going. So I want to get down here to the LAFCO thing. This process is a democratic process, and they have the right to petition their government or the authorities involved to find redress for grievance. So you can't say that it's against the Constitution. They have every right to try to dissolve the CSD if they feel they're not being represented. But I think LAFCO should let us duke it out in November and let the new board members, if there are any, decide that. We'll know where we're at in November because it'll be after the project update is done. All the CEQA stuff will be done. And this CSD is going to either sink or float come November. And we should leave you this LAFCO stuff behind just for that reason alone. But it's their right to petition their government for redress. So much in here, it's hard to choose what to talk from. Oh, also, Paul Hood, too, got out of here pretty easy. If he wasn't supposed to ask a question, I would have asked about the article in Sphere where he basically brands this board anti-sewer, and he's advising LAFCO. He's the executive officer. He should recuse himself from this process for that Sphere article alone. I found at least 8 points where he's completely wrong, historically, factually, and his preconceived notion of how this should go. And finally, that letter to the CSD general manager, staff to staff, does not represent the views of the commission. They haven't even looked at this as a commission. So I just finally say, he's staff, it's between staff, it's not LAFCO. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dugan. Ms. Owen?
Lindy Owen, Prohibition Zone. I just really wanted to thank all the committee work that's going on. I think it makes a huge difference, and we are running on a shoestring budget, and we're showing that we can do it. As far as dissolution, I just think it's very ironic that some of the main people that fought so hard to form a CSD are, all I can say is it seems like sour grapes to be fighting so hard to dissolve it. And I think it's pitiful. I wanted to comment on Shirley Bianchi's role in our wastewater plant and what the two of the election choices have said. Shirley Bianchi said that she could not help our community because we had chosen a CSD, and so she would not be able to involve herself in our sewer. Yet she showed over and over again that she was there on one side, she had an agenda, and it was not with the community of Los Osos, it was with the people that were prior CSD members. When asked about that, she gets very snappy and says that she, you know, attends things as a as her own personal person. So what I got out of everything that I've seen in the debates and the reading that I've done from the three candidates is that two of them say, one of them in particular, Roger Anderson, said that he will make sure that he gets money for us, something that Shirley Bianchi never did. And I just fail to believe. I think we've got the same agendas running in cycles. These people, both Anderson and Gibson, don't even realize what the state of the Bay is, what the pollution problems are here. And their answer is simply to go back to a bad project in to be expedient. And I think Judy Vick is our only choice. She's local, she's a woman, and we need balance on that board. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Morganson?
Richard Margetson. I want to correct a couple things or address a couple things Mr. Sparks talked about. He talked about proportional representation between the prohibition zone and the entire community and his concern about that. But then in the next breath, he talked about retaining the water department, for the CSD to retain the water department. That's not proportional representation. The water department only serves 2,750 households within the district. And there won't be a new supervisor seated at the time of the LAFCO hearing. Whoever, if somebody were to get a majority and in the election next week, that they would not take office immediately. Phil, his fire department report, one thing he hasn't mentioned but will be coming to light is the CDF portion of the budget, their portion of the budget for the fire department, they are not increasing their charges to the district $1 this year. The contract amount is staying the same as it was last year. The water department report, John talked about there's a perception with the Tuckfield report, the report that was submitted to the water committee for review that night. There's no perception problem. That report is flawed, dramatically flawed, and I'm actually surprised he's coming to town to defend it. So anybody wants to attend a very interesting meeting, come to that one. Mr. Dugan talked about the backhoe. I think the committee and the finance committee are looking at actually trying to finance that without using the iBank loan, but that's for later discussion. The last thing I want to talk about is the SRF resolution for submitting an application. I hope all the directors have read this, and I would like some explanation as to the last paragraph of the first page of the resolution. It says, now, therefore, the Board of Directors of the Los Osos Community Service District, San Luis Obispo County, California, does hereby resolve, declare, determine, and order as follow. A financial assistance application for a loan grant from the State Water Resources Control Board in the amount not to exceed $93,500,000 for the design and construction of the Los Osos Community Service District Wastewater Collection, Treatment, and Disposal Project. Where did that number come from? And this wording is the exact same wording that was in the old proposal that was before the community, and that allowed for a 50% bump in the future. We went, number of us went, with board members that are seated here now, to the state and talked before the State Water Resources Control Board at our desire to put a cap on the loan amount that they would, a cap. Not a not to exceed, because not to exceed wording in this with them includes a 50% bump, and this amount is equal to the old amount, and that amount was unaffordable for this community. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Margetson. Mr. Blesky, that was one of the questions I was going to ask after public comment was done too. Where did we come up with the number for the application?
The amount's based upon our last application. We can modify it as we get into our project report. and then reduce the amount. If approved, we would reduce the amount of what we would need because they'd be looking at that. So that's just how we approached it. Placeholder, and yeah, there is a 50% bump on that, and yeah, it's worded exactly the same. But the ability to accept, you know, there's been a change in the elected body, and we are modifying that report. That loan application would reflect that modification, and some of the comments I believe would be discussed at that time. We're just trying to get our foot in the door right now.
Okay, Vice President.
Mr. Morgenson, I appreciate your comments, and I appreciate you coming to the meetings, our committee meetings, and looking at all the numbers. But again, I said an appearance. I didn't say perception. Until I write technical documents we're living in, I would like, I think the courtesy has to be extended to Mr. Tuckfield to at least be able to explain the reason why that appearance is there before we judge him or the document itself. So until that discussion is held, my position on that document that there's an appearance of error, and I won't make that call until at least Mr. Tuckfield can come in and give his side of the reasons why it's presented as it is. And that's all I have to say about that.
Director Tacker, do you have something to say? Are there any more public comments? Mr. Moreland, you've spoken. Could you ask it? I have to be fair to everybody. I'm sorry. Okay. Okay. Could you have your... all right, quickly. Come on. This is really... I don't...
We
I'm
can
trying
do this
to keep
public
the rules
comment.
Fair.
I know I'm not supposed to speak again, but I just wanted to say, in regards to what Richard Morgenson just said, the amount, $93,500,000, does that include an isotopic study to determine where the nitrates are coming from? I mean, wouldn't that be the first thing to do?
Well spoken. Okay, go ahead. We'll sit down. Are there any other people who want to speak during public comment for the consent or the presentations? I'm closing public comment and bringing it back to the board. Now, discussion on the board. Director Tacker.
Okay. I do want to touch on some things that were said in public comment. I have notes, Mr. Morgenson, reflecting the same thing. When Lisa and I were first on the board, we did go to the state revolving or the state water resources control boards and asked that they put a cap on the loan. 93,500,000 was the figure from the last loan, and that's an unaffordable project. Absolutely unaffordable for this community. And that's before there's an affordability study. That's inherent. We already know that. You already know that. Your neighbors cannot afford that. So I had the same question, not to exceed, and would it allow a 50% over as the previous loan did? And we objected to that. So I think we have a deadline in that we do need to get this signed, but I would like to see it revised. I see Mr. Bleski's got a comment, but I'm uncomfortable with that number, and I have good thoughts for Ripley every day that his analysis and project update will bring in a figure far less than that, and a comprehensive project, something different that meets the needs and the goals of Los Osos, which I'll take this opportunity to kind of speak to the comments I heard in public comment. And with regard to Mr. Sparks, what you're looking for or what you thought we should have in 1998 isn't going to happen on the 6th of July either, so, as far as proportional representation. And then you're not interested in the wastewater project and somehow bifurcating it from the duties of the CSD. Well, groundwater management is comprehensive through water and wastewater management. So one without the other is really not a project, not a community, not a goal. We're not going to get there if we don't do it together. So they are hand in hand. Michael Jones, you're eloquent as always. Signatures on the petition. I have a copy of the signatures. It's different than the recall signatures that were gathered. Those were collected confidentially, and they remain confidential at the elections board, the recall signatures. But dissolution signatures are public record, and I don't know that citizens who signed that knew that. And I'm sorry if maybe they signed it not knowing that their names are public record. So I see some of my good friends have signed the dissolution petition. I wish they'd called and asked some questions before they'd signed that, because I think we could have put your mind to ease and maybe you wouldn't have signed it. What I find a little conflicting is what is proposed as the option A and B from LAFCO staff right now. It all revolves around the wastewater project. The question before LAFCO is dissolution. Are we doing our job? Are we serving our community? I believe we are. And so the question is to be dissolved or not, in my opinion. But they bring two options forward to divest the project, taking a power away from the community. Again, you will take away groundwater management if you don't manage wastewater and water at the same time. But when the other is the joint powers agreement with the county, it's pretty clear from Gail Wilcox's letter that they're not interested in that. But that's not the question. The question, again, is dissolution. And when I look at those signatures, your addresses are there, and I just did a rough count, but over 100 of the signatures are registered voters that live in outside the prohibition zone. That's a pretty loud voice for dissolution. It's louder if you're speaking only about the wastewater project. And that's what this seems to be about. When LAFCO is making these recommendations, it seems to be about the wastewater project and not the duties of the CSD. So I'm uncomfortable with that. I'm sure it's legal, but it's a different, statistically it's different than what the recall said. The recall was about bad government. Meetings that go till 4 in the morning where we're belittling each other and in a vicious fight, because there was a $93.5 million project on in the middle of the town that had a 50% over on it, and they accepted bids. The project, the loan was $134 million. Don't forget that. Don't forget why this board was elected and why we have a CSD, because we wanted to control our own destiny. I remember those well-publicized, glossy recommendations to have a CSD. So thank you, Karen Vendetti, for pursuing grants. Your report is encouraging. Again, will we ever get a loan? Will we ever get a grant? You hear those things with our credit rating as such. And I've said this before. We need to be building a project as though no one's going to give us a gift, as though no one's going to loan us money. We need to build a cheap project that we can all afford and live with. And it starts by moving the sewer out of town. And I've always said that. That will always be my mantra, out of town. On our reports, we talked about Farbstein. This project has been in the county system since 1988, and it's still not being built. And it's really not up to us whether it ever gets built. It's the Coastal Commission that will have the last word on that project.
What I'm finding uncomfortable about continuing to postpone, talking about it and getting it over with, is that the applicant pays a $500 fee to the water department for their application to take the to make the process go for their intent to serve water to that project. Every time we send it back, every time we postpone and have to have the lawyer look at it again, the water department, the water customers, are paying for a lawyer to reiterate, re-look at, reanalyze the same project over and over again. I want to get it over with, and I'm looking forward to getting it off our agenda in July. And I hope Dr. Dubink comes. I know he's filed an appeal with the Coastal Commission regarding the project, so I know it's not over there. But as far as our work, I want to get it over with. We've got bigger, better fish to fry, things to do. So I look forward to kind of getting that stuff out of the way. But as far as the consent calendar, my only concern was the state revolving fund resolution, and I'm sure we're not done talking about it. But I remember very, very clearly that I was uncomfortable with that number before. I remain uncomfortable with that number, and especially a 50% over. So those are my comments on presentations, committee reports, and the consent calendar, and I'd move we approve.
Do I have a second on the motion?
Or comment?
We can still have discussion after the second.
I'll second.
Okay, more discussion? Does anyone else have any discussion they'd like to make? Director Sennett?
No.
Okay, anybody else? No, I just have one question on the amount. I know we don't have a number to put in there. I know this number is too high, but I also noticed that it's for a loan or a grant, because we perhaps are looking at a grant program versus a loan program now, and I like that flexibility in the resolution. Mr. Bleski, can you add any more suggestions or recommendations about this
number? My recommendation is like we say right now, the urgency is because the way that we publish the resolution, that we can adopt it tonight, but on August the 4th when we get our project plan, and we immediately adopt a revised resolution. And I recommend that because you want to get that resolution to coincide with your latest amount of information, just basically for consistency's sake, but also for reasons that is we don't want to have that amount authorized out there with these kind of concerns laying over it right now. The other option is simply we can bring it back again and modify the language and modify the resolution prior to that August 4th deadline. If that's the board's direction, we can clean that up.
I mean, that's the only way I could feel comfortable approving it, is if we know we're going to modify it when we get more accurate information. This is not saying we have to borrow this much, plus there's votes involved, et cetera, et cetera. It's just a placeholder, but I'm uncomfortable with the amount. But I don't know what amount to put in. Director Sasanian.
Yeah, I guess maybe we should just be a little more clear about the fact that this, I kind of look at this as a line of credit, in that because it's out there, you don't have to spend it. Now, that comes down to trust and how much you have in us. And if you think that we're going to try and spend that kind of money without bringing it back to the community and getting the approval of the community and having the community march with us to Sacramento, I'm not going to do that. So I am inclined to go ahead and leave that number in there for now, because I don't have a better one except smaller, but I don't know what smaller really means yet. No way I can see us, spending 93, we'd get purple pipe everywhere, and I think gold leaf toilet seats everywhere too, and we won't do that.
Well, excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt, but do we even have to have a number in there? I mean, can we just delete in the amount not to exceed $93,500,000 and just the fact that we're just stating that we are applying for a loan to design, construct wastewater collection. Do we have to have a number in there at all?
The State Board's going to want an upper limit for their own planning purposes.
Are they?
They have a body of money that they need to allocate, so they need to know the maximum that you're going to look for. And as Mr. Blesky said, you can always revise it downward and can do so relatively immediately after you know your exact number. But if you put in a lower number now, revising it upward would be more difficult. Revising it downward would be much easier. And in all other things being equal, the agency would be more receptive to a downward revision than an upward one.
Well, there's just no basis for it other than the fact that it was the number that we used the last time. And that's the only basis. Unless, Dan, you've got something more that...
It essentially is that, but remember we have an approved project plan right now that substantiates that number, even though we know that that is not going to stand. Mm-hmm. At least technically we're going to see a modification of that report. What the amount is, I don't know. But we do have a document that has that number on there. We have to watch this very carefully in the future so that when we do get a revised number, that we keep this application coinciding with our project report.
Mm-hmm.
Director Tech, can I amend my motion maybe that we come back with a date certain for revision on the resolution? That is after Ripley?
I believe you can provide me direction that as soon as we have that final project report or another appropriate time, and you can modify your direction to staff as you see fit as we know more. But basically, let's take, for example, if it's August the 4th, we have that final plan adopted, we have a resolution there modifying this. And that would be direction to staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have to have an ability to amend this when we get more accurate information.
So, when we get more, yes.
It's just that we have to get it in because of there's a deadline.
Yes.
There's a deadline. It has to be done. That's the dilemma. We have to put a number in. I don't like this number. I don't have a better number. I know that we have deferred costs that were not addressed with the other loan.
That's right.
That we're planning to do a holistic wastewater project, water and wastewater, all items. Ms. McPherson, do you have something to add this time? I have to ask you because you worked.
Okay, I was outside, so I didn't hear a lot of the discussion. I don't want to repeat something.
Just why is the number 93 million?
93 million 500 is a ballpark number. It's just put in there as a placeholder. When you pick a project and you get a number and you estimate what you think you will not exceed and you're not going to go back for, you put a number in. For instance, if you were going to do a purple pipe system, you might pick a number of $50 million. Now, you don't know that that's what it is, but you might compare it to another system someplace else and say that's what they spent for something about the same size. And so you're really guessing. This is not a detailed loan application. That comes later. This is a one-page priority list. It was due the 30th to the list. It's going to be considered on the 7th. You can go back and amend things at any time, but it wouldn't be, it's not appropriate. This is just a rough estimate. The reason that that number was picked is because that was what the last loan's number was. And the thought is that, let's face it, if you go over that, you guys are probably in trouble. You're probably not keeping a concern of the community to keep the cost reasonable. And if you go down and say, I think it's going to be $50 million, and it ends up being $70, you're going to have to go back and change that. And so you're much better off just putting a placeholder in. It's a familiar number, and that's why it was used. I don't think that there's any reason to make any changes to the application at this point. It's cursory. It's not something that you're signing a contract on. You're simply saying that we want to be on a list and be considered as a priority.
Okay, thank you.
Director Cesena?
This is just the first time I felt like a politician when I say, trust me. You know, we don't like that number, trust us. That's the first time I've really felt like a politician up here.
One overlay on this is the number that's in here right now, not only being familiar, is defensible because you have an existing report that's been accepted. However, that report is currently under modification as we speak. So the number that they'll hear on the 7th, they've heard before. The existing documentation from a really bureaucratic perspective substantiates the number. We can defend it, and then we can change it. And I think just the discussion that the board's having shows the concern that's reflected from the community that elected you. That's just my opinion, but it is defensible.
Okay, and then my final comment, and I do want it on the record, is I have had calls and letters from people when they saw this on the agenda. Are you trying to get this through without a vote after we've been through all this about a vote? And I said, absolutely not. We want that. We just like Director Cesena said, we are bringing you with us this time. We are not abandoning our community. We are bringing you with us in whatever form and method of voting that is required. And I want to make that clear, too, because there's misunderstanding about that. So, Mr. Bear, never mind. Thank you. I'm sorry, I'm just reacting to the audience. So,
Madam President, we have a long way to go. And, when it comes to the process, we have the ATA. We have so many steps in between. Remember, the day that we signed the agreement, the ISA, and what's interesting is that here I sit in Los Osos, and just about everybody here in the audience and on television knows what all these terms mean, but the authority to award, the reimbursement agreements, all those require public hearings. All those require a lot of scrutiny. This is just the start of the process. Approval, we're not approving anything. We're just applying.
Yes, in fact, the fact that you don't even have a project before you says that all you're doing is letting them know that you're doing a project. And there is some concern that maybe we won't even use state revolving funds for this project. There's that possibility. But it's important because the solicitation happened in January, and then this form didn't get filled out, and it was kind of the 11th hour, and it was important because this is for 2007, and we've got to at least let them know that we're interested, and I think that's important. And you're right, it took 4 years to get from this point for the old project to a point where they were actually doing contracts, so it's not binding in any way.
Okay, and then that is also important for the public to know that we are exploring alternative funding at the same time as we're doing this. This is not our only option, but it has to be one of the options. It has to be one of those. Okay, I'm closed. Any other comments from the board? I'm ready for a vote. Okay, Mrs. Vega?
Director Tacker?
Yes.
Vice President Fiché?
Yes.
Director Cesena?
Yes.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
President Schicker.
Yes. Let's take a 10-minute break, please. Thank you. We're starting general public comment. This is for all items that are not on the agenda. So please step up. And Dr. Wickham, I understand that you have to drive back home. I hope not tonight, but we're going to allow you to speak first. So please come up.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to give a very brief project update from the firehouse. We've been doing some monitoring, and we've been watching it for really the last month and a half or so that it's been in. I made some modifications to that system. So what I've been doing, the regional board said that they were reluctant to accept in-soil treatment. We set in a lysimeter that is directly beneath the discharge pipe in the gravel layer of the leach bed at the firehouse, and the lysimeter is pulling samples about 1 foot below the point where that water hits the sand. In that, the last night I did a sample of it from there. We pulled it out of the lysimeter. We're working with the lysimeter to get a full enough sample we can take it for lab analysis. I was able to get a better grab this morning. We'll continue working on that until we can get one for the lab, but I've been doing field analysis. The preliminary data from last night and then again this morning was that our total nitrogen at about 12 inches below the point of discharge was approximately 3 milligrams per liter. So the ammonia, in fact, ammonia this last night was non-detectable. I had about 2.5 milligrams per liter of nitrate. This morning, I couldn't really find any nitrate. I found my ammonia at about 0.8 milligrams per liter. So it'll vary a little bit with the time of day and what's being discharged from the, you know, the usage pattern in the actual firehouse. The thing that I did do was to try and alter, because they're so reluctant to accept soil as a treatment medium, even though it's completely fallacious from their standpoint, I modified the actual tank itself, and so we're working towards bringing the nitrogen level down in the tank. We began at 70 milligrams per liter ammonia, which meant the total nitrogen was somewhere in probably 80 to 90 in that tank when we started this project. We've watched it. The first laboratory samples we did were showed that the total nitrogen had gone down to about 40. This system this morning, using field testing, I saw that my ammonia had finally dropped down to about 12. My nitrate, it was at about 2.5 milligrams per liter. So it looks like we're now at least under that 20 level in the tank, and we're watching it progress. And so I'm hopeful that we can actually achieve it in the tank. I know full well we've achieved it in the soil without any problem whatsoever. On one other issue, we met with San Luis Obispo County on the permitting issue for the Piranha Sludge Hammer. We went through the whole issue. They had informed us they could permit it through the county and that it would be a building permit. It's not actually a sewage or septic permit. It's a building permit that relates to the electrical installation. They indicated it would be a $72 over-the-counter permit fee, but they said because they don't have an MOU with the regional board, and the regional board has declared, in effect, Howard Kolb's opinion, is that it's an alternative system, that they would have to get approval from the regional board for the permit. And so we negotiated back and forth. We are going to appeal that decision to the planning board. We'll carry forward with that. However, they did say we could go forward with that permit application. So we determined that the best way to do that would be to apply for a county building permit for the fire station installation. And then at that same time, we were looking at another possible system that we've been interested in, and they said, well, you should include that and then bring us two permit applications. We can then present them to the regional board and, in effect, force the issue, but not really. I mean, it's to provide the regional board an opportunity to look at it and let us really discuss what the detail is here, that this is nothing more than it's a plumbing appliance, you know. And I don't see, and I commented to the county that they don't go to the regional board to get their approval to permit a new bathtub or a new faucet or a new septic tank even. So, I mean, there's a lot of inconsistency there. They just are very, the regional board is clearly exerting a substantial amount of pressure on the county. So that's a brief update.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions from the board or staff on Dr. Wickham's report? Director Sennett?
Well, I'd be interested in knowing just briefly what modifications you've made in the tank to affect the lowering of nitrates.
I submitted, when we first started this project, we discovered when we were early on that we had this unusual aerobic denitrification in the soil, and part of our original patent application was that. I made a discovery later that if I could establish a population of ammonia oxidizing bacteria in the septic tank, I could short circuit the process and I could get the denitrification in the tank. It's proven to be difficult to sustain, and so what I did is I developed another device that in effect is a separate I right now tentatively calling it a nitro hammer, you know, as opposed to a sludge hammer. So, you know, you got to market these things. So, but what I did, what it, in effect it is a separate unit that sets up a different condition in that tank that favors the growth of the ammonia oxidizing bacteria and communicates into the other device, so I can provide a continuous inoculum that the two work together. I mean, the chemistry of it's complex, and it would take me too long to explain. But that's what it is.
Dr. Wickham, I just have one quick question. Okay. Is it too early to ask that if you have to go through the permitting process with the regional board, but your system is the same no matter where you go, is there a way of getting a blanket permit for that one alternative system? I mean, do you have to get an alternative system permit for each installation versus
one
permit for that type of installation?
Comment was that because they're in this negotiating stage with the regional board on the actual issue of their memorandum of understanding and what it would actually consist of, that they had to go through this process each time, but their intent was that ultimately they would take over the authority for that particular thing, because they agreed with me that in actual fact it was a plumbing code issue, because we're not asking for a permit for an on-site wastewater treatment system. They already have the permit for that. You know, the client already has the permit that the regional board has anything to do with. It doesn't have anything to do with what you do to that system after, but the regional board has interjected itself very forcefully, and we feel potentially there are potential restraint of trade issues and things like this that ultimately we're going to exhaust our administrative options on, because if we have to sue for restraint of trade, then we would have to do that.
Thank you. And then just a follow-up question. What did you say about negotiate the MOU? I thought there was an MOU in place, and could you elaborate on that for the audience?
There is an MOU in place. It's been in place for years. The comment to us was that it was expired, but in actual fact, there is no expiration date on it. It's the current MOU, and they're operating under it. So it's, I won't say mumbo-jumbo, but... I mean, because they were being as cooperative as they could with us. I knew they were under pressure. You have to sometimes negotiate with a little bit of you take a few grains of salt as you do it.
Sure. So what are they negotiating then? I'm confused by that.
I have no idea. The regional board is sitting there saying they're going to redefine this MOU. They're claiming that it's related to AB 885 and new mandates coming down from the state, but I really don't see any content to that, because there is no AB 885 yet. It's in draft form. It doesn't even exist. So.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other questions from the board? Thank you for your presentation. Appreciate it. Other public comment this evening? Mr. Barrow?
Good evening. Thank you for listening. One point on the CDO recipients, which is all of us in the Prohibition Zone. After studying the Porter-Cologne Act, Article 13082, 80, and 83 cover on-site, and they stipulate that it's the responsibility of the water board to prove that your septic tank is polluting. I want you all to understand that. I don't think anybody has ever understood that up to this date. The law that's certified by the legislature says that the water board is responsible for proving that you're polluting. Now, we know the data from nitrogen was from false wells, because we had to have some of those wells replaced. So they haven't proven that the pollution is actually coming from your leach fields. Having said that, I was in the meetings and listened to them, and I think when the tenor of the meeting was that the two regulators from the county were very defensive coming in, and Mr. Wickham was very gracious and put them at ease, and at the end of the meeting, there was a sort of sense that we were going to be moving forward. I would also say, I asked them the question, if the district were to consider this as part of the project, what would the permitting process be? And in answer to your question, Lisa, it would be a blanket permit. so there would, it would not be, you wouldn't have to look at every site. They put a lot of really stupid conditions. If you want to ever look at this, I'll be happy to show it to you. But I would like to say one thing about Dr. Wickham. I followed him around all day like a puppy, and we went down to the Laguna plant, treatment plant down there, and talked to Marty Wilder, who wants him to solve some of their BOD problems. Marty's a wonderful guy, as is Dr. Wickham, and they're going to work with the Piranha people on solving that. They're also doing a lot of other things besides residential piranhas. They're doing a project, a big project up in Arcata. They're doing another big project. I'm trying to think. Could you help me out on this one, Dr. Wickham? Arizona? Anyway, they're doing a lot of big projects. They're cleaning up grease. I mean, really thick grease in Texas. I mean, it's just incredible what they're doing. And Dr. Wickham shows such a command of all the different kinds of technology. I was very impressed, as you all should be. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. Who else would like to speak during public comment? Mr. Ellaby?
Hey, Chris Alvey, Los Osos. My statements here are in response to Joyce Albright's diatribe of May 26 regarding Judy Vicks running for district supervisor. The $60 million debt she refers to was brought about by the actions of the former board, who refused to listen to the citizens of Los Osos. We were being sued into bankruptcy and voted them out. Judy is the only one of the three candidates who've attended any of the meetings called to assist the CDO participants in their problems with the water boards. The two candidate forums I have attended passed over our request for discussion of this issue. I don't know why, but it happened. We submitted speaker slips and were never called. Listening to the other two candidates makes one wonder if they'd ever even been to Los Osos. They both use the old catchphrases such as Los Osos doesn't want a sewer, Los Osos is polluting the bay, and Los Osos is dumping effluent into the groundwater, etc., etc. None of this is true to any meaningful extent. Just look at the Kitch report. The present board is killing themselves to come up with a choice of projects for Los Osos to vote on. Judy Vick is the only one of the three candidates that I think will give us a fair shake and really help us with our problems. As for her lack of experience, one has only to look at what our experienced representatives have done to us in the past. The last thing we need is experience. Let's start with a clean slate this time. Please encourage your friends and neighbors to vote and write letters for Judy. And I fear any other choice would be a travesty for Los Osos. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Taylor?
It's a hard act to follow. My name is Gwen Taylor. I'm a resident of Los Osos, and I'm going to comment as to the formation of boards and commissions and why we have a LAFCO. The California State Government Code authorizes the Board of Supervisors to appoint as many boards, committees, and commissions as it considers necessary to provide an adequate service. They may be set up and dissolved according to need. Some are mandated by state law. And we have LAFCO. LAFCO is mandated by the state. It is a local agency formation commission, and it is a county-formed committee. LAFCO is legally independent of local jurisdiction. The supervisors, two council members from different cities, two representatives from different special districts, and a member from the public at large compile the members of LAFCO board. Their duties are to discourage urban sprawl and encourage the orderly formation and development of local agencies based on local conditions and circumstances, determine the sphere of influences for each city and special district within the county, reviews and act upon request to form, dissolve, or reorganize any local governmental agency, coordinate logical and timely local government boundaries, changes, determine that services are provided efficiently and economically while agriculture and open space lands are protected, initiate reorganizations or consolidations of special districts when appropriate. That is their responsibility.
Regarding the will serve, I guess I'm a little confused about this because we're trying to conserve water here, and I understand that perhaps he was in the pipeline, but you know, you guys got to recognize that first before trying to advocate for a developer. And I'm kind of curious of what's going to happen because my understanding through Mr. Seitz earlier today is that they're close to a resolution with the water purveyors and with Golden State. And it's going to be interesting to see the outcome of that because I'd like to see that that's immediately go to the county for the resource capacity study because I don't know what we've agreed to. It's going to be very interesting to know. I think the Regional Water Quality Control Board, I think we should ask for a request for a change of venue. I think Briggs in his letter is obviously tainted in the conversation from Dr. Wickham that they are so close-minded to new ideas and God forbid something else in a septic tank might even work and work well for a lot less money than a big sewer plant or project. And finally, I just have a real problem about the SRF application process. No committee review before that happened. The resolution was drafted, I understand, and you guys approved it. But that was completely outside of the community involvement. Why that wasn't called as a special meeting for community members to at least make public comment on that. And my last request is hopefully we can make public comment earlier in the meeting. Thank you.
Mr. Swanson, I want to clarify on the intent to serve issue. The Farbstein project has been before the board before. Again, I didn't finish my thought earlier. The applicant paid a $500 application fee. That's all his obligation is. Our obligation is to hear it. So far, because we haven't gotten it done, we haven't voted, and I'm not predisposed one way or the other of how I'm going to vote, what we have done, is spent over $3,000 sending it back to the lawyer, and that bothers me. I want to get it off the table, kill it, or send it, or approve it. That's what my issue is get the item, get the minutia done. This board's got work to do, and that's something that's looming and hanging around. I just want it over with. And so we have an update from Mr. Seitz. We pay for that. And now we'll have a new staff report that has likely new conditions, and we'll have to pay for that too. And so I just want to get it over with. And I hope you didn't misunderstand
that I've taken a position on the project. I just want it over with. Okay?
Okay, Mr. Lloyd.
Hey, please give us an email. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Lloyd. Ms. Owen?
Lindy Owen, Prohibition Zone. Bob, have you done anything about that background music yet? Anyway, I had a couple things I wanted to say briefly. I think it's really exciting to see that the Piranha is having some great results, and this is just an example of what needs to happen. Is progress is about trying new things, and when things work, then moving forward with them, moving ahead. I prefer that. And so I think we're having, the state of California, the whole world should be kind of glad to see some of these results, and maybe what he's trying and attempting to do will bring forth better technology for many more people. So I just commend what they're up to and our board for getting it installed here. A little water tip, front loader washing machine. I checked at Sears, and they have the top of the line, lowest end one on sale for $550. So people should really think about that. It runs 19 gallons per load, and that's pretty fabulous, so compared to 30. And so I think that's something that everybody could go take a look at. And anyway, and then lastly, I wanted to speak about the trees in front of the skate park are up for the time has come where the traffic signal is going to go in, and there's a number of the large eucalyptus that front Los Osos Valley Road right in front of the skate park in the Red Barn that are slated for removal. And they're trying their darndest to figure out some way to save a couple of them, and that may come about, but that will be in 2 weeks. So we've asked Rosemary Gaglione from Public Works to get an article in the paper so people are a little prepared, because I think it's going to be a big shock to see those beauties gone. And lastly, I wanted to say that LOCAC had our elections, and we have Keith Swanson is in District 4, and we have Alon Perlman was elected in District 1. So we really encourage people to get involved with, both the CSD and LOCAC are really important functions in our community to make this a better community. So we invite people to come. The meeting is always the third Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. here. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Owen. Excuse me, Mr. Cooper? The fourth Thursday.
Bo Cooper. I just want to confirm something that Julie said earlier. Some of the discomfort some of us have about the joint powers agreement and the divestiture. I have Gail Wilcox's letter here again, and quoting from the letter that she wrote to the LAFCO board, she says about the county, we are in clear about the two scenarios presented in your letter, Paul Hood's letter to us, talking about divestiture and JPA. Our understanding is that the actions LAFCO can consider on the petition to dissolve are either, one, approve the petition to dissolve the CSD, two, deny the petition to dissolve the CSD, or three, continue the hearing for up to signed by Gordon Hensley with his address here, and also one step further, when they actually wrote their proposal to dissolve the CSD, it's called the proposal application. Also, again, the first name on the application, right above Joyce Albright, is Gordon Hensley. So there's no question that he is involved. I just want to make it clear that it's not just rumor and innuendo and that kind of stuff, but it's just clear fact. And I'm sorry there's that kind of pressure to keep us from doing what we need to do, but I've said this kind of thing before. You know where I'm at, and God bless.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper. Mrs. Cooper, did you want to speak?
Hi. Lacey Cooper, again. I just wanted to make a few points about information. A lot of times you hear that perception is reality. Well, That's true if your perception mirrors reality. However, if your perception is way far away from reality, they usually call you crazy. And I think that's what we're running into a lot when we're trying to do the wastewater project. There is a reality about nitrates. There's scientific data. There's a reality about cost. And unfortunately, when things get political, you get more into perception, how to guide perception rather than what is actually happening. And something I saw in the, what's the local paper? Bay News? Yeah, Bay News. They were quoting one of the dissolvers, the taxpayer watch person, Joyce Albright, is saying that that this board costs the people $60 million, which is, you know, it's like you put a number out. I guess if you keep putting it out long enough, maybe some people will believe it. But it's not based on anything. There's no $60 million. It's just a made-up number that they've thrown together, things that, I don't know, maybe happen in the future or whatever. It's some number they came up with. But the other thing that disturbed me is they quoted her saying that, like, the services are in jeopardy, which is not true, and I think that's fear-mongering, and I really wish the paper would put some disclaimer at the bottom rather than just quoting these people, you know, who are trying to scare the public with large numbers and saying, hey, the services are in jeopardy and all this stuff that's not happening because they want to get a certain political result that's not based on reality. So perception is not reality. And so I would urge people to really find out what's happening and not just accept these things because they're in the newspaper or whatever. Call the CSD, find out what's going on. And talk to your official, you know, your representatives. The people who are trying to dissolve this board are playing fast and loose with the truth, and it's mostly a lot of spin.
Take a continuous core rather than just make a borehole and sleeve it, but just take a continuous core and subject it to scientific analysis. There's probably enough talent in this community to form an ad hoc committee to analyze the core, and it could give us a tremendous amount of knowledge about how our sand dune is built. There are obviously clay lenses, large and small. As you get deeper, there's lots of interbedding of material. I mean, we're basically on a Holocene sand dune, and it could. The structure of this is still a little bit of a mystery, even though there's been a number of boreholes done. If it costs a huge amount more, then obviously it can't be considered. But perhaps it's still affordable to do that, a continuous core rather than just a borehole. Thank you.
Thank you. Are you volunteering to form that ad hoc committee? Would you like an appointment to an ad hoc committee to investigate that?
Sure. And I know there's several geologists living in town, and I'm sure they would serve as well.
Okay.
Thank
Great.
You.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Mr. Jones? Mr. Busky, did you have anything to add? Did you want to say anything or no? Okay. Mr. Jones.
Michael Jones, Los Osos. With my public comment tonight, I must first give a mea culpa, an apology, if you will. The last time I went into Sylvester's, I caught some grief for talking about how they'd raise their prices because of gas costs. The lady at the counter explained to me that they'd only raise the price on their burgers 20 cents each. I thought about it, and the time I went in and my order was $2 more, I think I ordered onion rings instead of French fries, and the onion rings are about $1 more. So Sylvester's has not raised their prices as much as I made it seem. I explained I wasn't complaining and that I gladly pay more and that I love their food. But my comments regarding the magnitude of their price increase was overstated, and for this I apologize. I have traveled this great state far and wide, from San Diego to Death Valley to Eureka. This coastal village of Los Osos is a most extraordinary place. We are blessed to live in this incredible environment in a rural setting with coastal access right in our backyard. What really makes Los Osos special is the people who live here, the people I've come to know at our community meetings and gatherings, the people I've met while out on door hanger patrol. A very special life force has gravitated to this very special place. But I just wanted to make it clear to everyone that the reason I moved to Los Osos was for the hamburgers. Another interesting thing happened to me this week, and this event speaks directly to the value of having a CSD and a local utility service. On Tuesday night, I got home from work. It was around 6 or 6:30. I noticed my Judy Vick sign was bending crooked from the wind, so I went over to adjust and anchor it straight. The next thing I noticed is that the lid on my water meter was displaced and a large volume of water was gushing out over the top. When I saw this, I freaked out for a few reasons. You guys have beat the concept of water conservation into my head so hard, just the sight of fresh water bubbling and gushing out the top of my meter into the yard was unsettling. The second reason I freaked out was the sight of a $6,000 water bill that flashed before my very eyes. My main intention at this point was to immediately report what appeared to be a broken or cracked line, if for no other reason than to mitigate a $6,000 water bill. At this point, it was around 7 p.m. I didn't know who to call at this hour, so I called the fire department. I explained, "Hey, are Johnny on the spot if there is a problem?" To make a long story short, in my mind, the best-case scenario was to have water late the next day, and I had a hot shower before work in the morning. In closing, this is not a service this community wants to give up. Believe me, I've had firsthand experience, and whether the people of this community realize it or not, this is not a service we want to give up. We all need to attend the dissolution hearing on July 6th to protect and defend our local services and our community services district. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Moylan, you're next. Mr. Baskey?
Just a clarification on the July 6th laugh. First of all, there's just some great comments that come out of closed session from all perspectives, or out of the open comments from all perspectives. It's always very, very good, very educational. On the LAFCO hearing on the 15th, for those who are interested, we do need to be, we have a hearing that's going to open on the 15th, and we were asked to be there. Follow me on this. They'll open the hearing on the 15th of June, continue it to July 6th. But I'm not sure, for the public's sake, you may want to be able to, during open comments there, it may behoove you to have that opportunity to speak to the board at that time, too.
Well, you did hear from Mr. Hood, and he did express that.
He said we need to be
too.
There. Yeah.
What?
He said that we need to be there on the 15th.
No, but what he told me is he does not expect the public to speak in detail on that.
On the 15th.
Yeah, he would appreciate that. Of course you can speak. I'm not trying to say that. He's just saying that's not the day for the hearing. That's what he told the public and me. But you're welcome to come to both days, for sure. Hey, Mr. Moylan, it's your turn.
I lost my train of thought. Actually, I'd like to say that I didn't move up here for the hamburgers. I moved up here for the clean air and the hamburgers. I asked you before, and you didn't really get a chance to comment. Dr. Wickham's, I want to talk about Dr. Wickham's testimony on April 28th. Dr. Wickham's testimony was brilliant, and he said that there hadn't been any scientific evidence to indicate exactly the source of the nitrates in the aquifers. He said there was a correlation between the housing and the nitrate levels in the groundwater, but that was not proof. That's just a correlation. And being a scientist, he looked at many, many correlations, and correlations do not equate to truth. At any rate, he did say that it would be easy to determine the source of the nitrates in the aquifer by doing isotopic testing, because isotopic testing is specific to the kind of nitrates. In other words, you could tell whether the nitrates were from the septics or if there was underground vegetation that was biodegrading that was causing the nitrate level, or if it was either request that the RWQCB do some scientific testing to determine where the nitrates are from, or if we have to do it, then we pay for it. That's what I'd like to see. And science is the best bet. And then we could, if it is from the septics, then we can just install the piranha systems. So, could you please address my question about whether or not you intend to do some isotopic testing of the aquifers?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Moylan, for your comments. Mr. Blesky, what would you like to say on this?
Just that it's premature to make a determination or commitment at this time.
I think we need to bring this issue.
There's merit.
There's merit to your requests and comments, and I think we need to bring it to committee for further discussion. It hasn't been included yet. That was kind of new information that just came out, but it does bear further attention. So we will address it in the future and take it to committee as the first thing. If you have any information that you can find, would you please contribute it to the committee?
There is information about naturally occurring nitrates in the ground, and they just discovered in the desert, a huge area of the desert, under the ground, there are very high nitrates, and they were afraid of developing the desert because of the septic systems putting water into the ground, which would then create the chance for the nitrates to come to the surface. So they're naturally occurring in the ground in certain areas, and this area is probably one of those.
Thank you, Mr. Moylan. Okay, who's next? Mrs. Moylan, are you next to speak, or would you like to go, Mr. Perelman?
Oh. Thank you, Alon Perelman. Prohibition Zone. Well, I wanted to talk about several things, but since Mr. Moylan talked about the Water Board, I would ask you to listen to my advice, which is that you are stronger on the science than the Water Board is. Well, Dr. Wickham's testimony was amazing and very, very well spoken in addition to being scientifically correct. The Water Board presents a moving target. And again, I'll go back to the hearing that concerned the outfall in that they'll just use any... They basically will, if given permission, they will twist the data to suit them. So chasing down the isotopes really won't mean that much when the Water Board is refusing to admit that there is a breakdown occurring, even though it can be scientifically presented. They're not admitting that Baywood sand fines are involved in the process of denitrification. So I suggest that when you approach them, you do it using both your strengths, which are staying with the science, their weaknesses, which are avoiding the science, spending more time on this. But I will pull out one comment, which is that the pollution of our estuary must be stopped. This gentleman was a member of the Morro Bay National Estuary Program and should therefore be quite aware that the bacteria levels in sailfish in their own publications show that the closer you get to Morro Bay, the more bacteria you find in the shellfish rather than in Los Osos. We are dealing with a PR campaign. We are dealing with people repeating things that are simply not true. Our strengths are that we are basically correct, that we are right, and that we will put in a well-engineered sewer. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Perelman. Ms. DeWitt Moylan.
Good evening, board, staff, public. I'm Beverly DeWitt Moylan, and I'm a resident of the Prohibition Zone. And though the Regional Water Quality Control Board refuses to acknowledge me in any of its correspondence to our home, I consider myself a CDO recipient along with my husband. And I want to follow up on Mr. Jones's comment with regard to local service from our local government. As a CDO recipient, I have attended along with my husband I've attended just about all the meetings. I think my husband's attended every single one of the CDO recipient support meetings. I have never seen a county person at one of those CDO recipient meetings. I have never seen a taxpayer's watch person at any one of those CDO recipient meetings. But I have to say that I have seen CSD board members at those meetings. They have come, they have listened, they have offered assistance, they have offered their phone numbers, they have offered us their time. You can't do better than local government when you know who the people are who are in charge, when you know that those people listen to you, when you know that those people are available all the time. It's a great resource for us to have our local government here. I am not a California native. I come from a part of the country where we have a very participatory government. I come from New England. We have town meeting. People get up and vote line by line on town bylaws and on town budgets. Once a year we do that. And then monthly we go to our I can't think of the name of the board, but it's our local board of selectmen. There's women on those boards, but this is from colonial times, so they're board of selectmen. But we participate, and we value that local government, and I don't think there would be a person in New England who would even understand what's going on here. The idea that we would try to dissolve what our forefathers fought for. My father's people fought in the Revolution. My father's grandfather was a 5 times wounded veteran of the Civil War who went home to my little town of Canton, Massachusetts, and participated in town government, and went to town meeting, and went to...
Good evening again. I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. On that letter to serve, intent to serve letter, I'm trying to think back. The old board had received a request like that. I believe it was for only like 2 units. And isn't this the one that's morphed into several units that he wants to serve? That's a different one. Just still 2 units? Okay, so you're more on top of it than I am. I was thinking of some other project, I guess. One thing I want to say that I didn't get to say the last time I was standing here is no matter whatever happens, you people can go the rest of your life knowing that you had the guts to stop that outrageous project. And for that, you will always be number one top on my books. So what other things I grab a hold of and hang on to is because that's the way I analyze it and look at it. So I guess that's pretty much what I wanted to say. I still have to collect funds for a legal fund, but that's another project. Thank you.
Good night. Thank you, Mr. Payne. Ms. McPherson.
Good evening. It's getting late, and I'm ready to go home. I bet you are, too. I wanted to just read off a litany of some of the progress on the wastewater program. And the program is more than the plant. However, the key feature of the... I was calling it just a comprehensive wastewater management program because that kind of encompasses everything when I describe it. But I know everybody has a different name for it. But anyway, the key feature is, of course, the update of the facilities report and looking at, what's needed for solving the long-term program problems. Some of the things that you've accomplished are the contract, of course, to update that plan, the application for the new SRF loan with a revised and updated plan, you've applied for grants, you've... expanded the groundwater testing and new wells installed to reduce nitrates and manage water appropriate, perhaps for irrigation. You've installed pilot technology at the fire station, and it looks like the results are promising. You've developed a voluntary community septic management program implementation,
and you're working towards that, an SSMP. You've started aggressive water conservation plan in a program with shower retrofits and plans for restarting that toilet retrofit program, and there's money available for that. Revision of the water rates in alignment with conservation goals is something that's in progress. The continued replacement schedule of leaking service connections is still ongoing. Request by the county for a severity 3 level status for resource capacity plan based on the recent completion of the water saltwater intrusion study. Request for special legislation, if necessary, to implement that SSMP for the entire community, not just the prohibition zone, bringing everybody into the same arena. Contracts have been awarded for a formal update of that, that our own state would embrace that same philosophy. The example was their excellence in leadership programs, and that is a structured framework that provides a commitment and accountability along with innovative approaches to regulatory, technological, and funding aspects. So with that, thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Dugan?
Dave Dugan, Los Osos. Okay. The basin plan does work. 8313 does not work. It's counter the basin plan. Why? Because it jumps a bunch of steps. The LCSD is required first to fix, to inspect, fix, and repair malfunctioning septic systems, septic system maintenance program, whatever you want to call it. That's the first thing the basin plan calls for before you can do any testing. So you can knock off all of those test wells that may be given as false readings because we have a busted septic tank right next to it. It helps us not spend money we needlessly. The basin plan outlines that you should not use any drinking wells as test wells. It says it in the basin plan. So how many drinking wells are we using for testing? 3, 4, 5 private ones? We have no control over that. It says no. Third, before you can even determine if you're going to build a wastewater system at Tri-W or out of town, you have to look at all alternatives. All alternatives include on-site systems. I suspect from Palisades all the way over to Alexandria, from Highland all the way down Los Osos Valley Road, they could probably do on-site, but first fix and repair any busted septic tanks, then do our test, and then collectively knock our nitrates down with on-site systems. That takes care of a huge part of the community that doesn't have to dig up their streets, and it helps. It helps recharge the aquifer. If we're getting clean water, whatever the piranha does, under 2% nitrogen, they'll be doing better than any plant they were going to put out here, and we are directly recharging the upper aquifer with clean water. It says that in the basin plan there's exemptions from the prohibition and describes these things to reach that. It's not totally dependent on the size of your lot, but whether or not collectively that community, that part of the community, can lower the nitrate levels. The only way we're going to do that first is to fix the busted septic systems, then test, and do not use drinking wells as your test sites. We're going to have to put in different test wells to make this qualify. It's all in the basin plan. 8313 is in contradiction to the basin plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dugan. Mr. Murgison?
It must be built now. I will push for as economical a solution as is available, and I have been successful getting money in Washington for local projects. Do any of these quotes even remotely address how he would bring people together to solve problems? The answer is no. That's not the worst of it. The last line of Mr. Anderson's response is what really spiked my blood pressure and should yours. It reads like this: once the sewer is built, the crisis will be over and the community will heal. Let me read that again as I emphasize the five words of great irritation to me. Once the sewer is built, the crisis will be over and the community will heal. That's right, he said it. The crisis will be over. My question to Mr. Anderson then must be, the crisis will be over for whom? For the senior citizen who lives here on a fixed income and can't afford $205 plus a month without giving up or cutting back on basic necessities like health insurance and prescription medicines? I think not. Will the crisis be over for the young family of four who moved here in search of a quality of life away from the rat race and higher crime rates associated with urban living? I think not. How do they stretch their month-to-month shoestring budget to pay exorbitant sewer fees and still save for college educations? I don't know, and I feel for them. Will the crisis be over for the mom-and-pop shops in town who exist for and depend on the patronage of their Los Osos neighbors? How will the monthly payment of excessive sewer fees affect our ability to buy pastries, books, flowers, pet supplies, gym memberships, artwork, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner from these businesses on a frequent enough basis to keep them open and profitable? Only time will tell. In conclusion, Mr. Anderson, the only group for whom the crisis will be over will be the developers, real estate speculators, and affluent in this community. You've been willing to go door to door with your campaign flyers. Once the, in your words, crisis is over, are you willing to go door to door to convince the majority of this community before they have to leave town that the crisis is over? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Morganson. Mr. Sparks.
I think we need one specific agenda item for the toilet retrofit program to bring to you to try to separate that and go forward with that. We don't have truly yet a significant water conservation program, and with the delay of the treatment plant, it's important that we do that. The assessment included an allocation for that of 2001 specifically for about $1.2 million, if I'm correct, and so hopefully your board will, you know, agendize that fairly soon, so that we can and your staff can bring back in terms of funding that and going forward with the toilet retrofit program. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Sparks. Would anyone else like to speak this evening? Okay, I'm going to close public comment.
So we are talking about some years ago, fall of 2004. I was just making some notes. Lisa and I were elected on November 2nd, 2004. We were sworn in on December 4th, 2004. Funny thing happened on December 10th. We were sworn in. We didn't sit at the dais. We didn't serve yet. But on December 10th, Stan Gustafson, as president of the board, directed John Seitz to investigate whether or not Lisa and I could participate in closed session because of our prior involvement in citizen activity. I had long resigned as president of CCLO before I was elected, and I had resigned before CCLO did file some litigation. We did serve our first day on the board December 16th, where we, Lisa and I, were the two no votes on the approval of the revenue plan for the state revolving fund, similarly flawed from Mr. Tuckfield. So, you know, it's kind of funny to run back through these things, reflect on them. I don't believe I had a conflict at that time. Mr. Seitz did an investigation, like I said, spent $2,500 investigating whether or not Lisa and I could participate and of the district's money, and concluded that, of course, we could participate.
We didn't get elected because we'd been sitting in our on our hands. We got elected because we were working for the community as citizens, hardworking citizens, and I believe we still do. So there was no conflict at the time, and there's no conflict when we settled lawsuits. And I just want to make that very, very clear. I did have a call today, and I want to clear this up. The question was our construction yard at South Bay Boulevard in Pismo, not our construction yard. In 2002 or three, right around in there, the board purchased 10,000 square feet for a pump station at 18th and Pismo, part of the six-acre Walker Ranchette that now is home to the Barnard Construction Yard that houses pipes and concrete manholes, a little bit of equipment. And two signs that give the perception that they're it's our endorsement or the district's endorsement because people think that's our construction yard. There is a support sign for a District 2 supervisorial candidate. This board has taken no position on a candidate for District 2. I'm sure we all have our own and our request for them to be responsible for the material that's there. Keep it covered, keep it safe, et cetera, that kind of thing. So those are just the two things I wanted to touch on in my closing comments, and thank you all for coming, and I hope you have a good night.
Thank you, Director Decker. Director Sennett, would you like to have some final comments?
Sure. this week, a sad thing happened. My front-loading washer broke, so I was out searching with my wife to replace it, and I was amazed at the number of front loaders there are, and I think that's really important for everybody to consider right now, not only because it saves water, but it also saves on the use of soaps, and this will be a lot less that you introduce into a septic tank if you discharge into your septic tank, and that's a good thing, but there are so many models, and they do go up, you know, well over $1,000, and there's a premium on the matching dryer. So, you know, you'll go into sticker shock. It made my head spin. Okay. But anyway, what I wanted to say, there was a comment regarding that expressed a disgust that, you know, the county once had this project. It was in the palm of our hands, and there was a conscious decision on behalf of the community and our political representative to allow this to go forward under the CSD. And here, it faltered because of lack of community support. And now, because of that disgust, he wanted to go back to the county. And I flash on the newest type of thriller film where the person has this terrible thing happen to him, and it's just terrible, terrible. And he wakes up. Oh, it's a dream. And then lo and behold, it happens again. It's really not a dream. He wakes up from the nightmare to find that he's living the nightmare. And I think if we don't resolve it here and now, and we've got everything we need here to resolve it for ourselves, and if we don't do it here and now, there's a lot of unknown and a lot of potential nightmare to come. So I do appreciate all the support of the community, and I believe we can do it if people hold on. This is a tough job, and it not a day goes by that someone doesn't. People who are ambiguous or supporters or whatnot, not a day goes by they don't say.
Clean air or the burgers. It was because I really couldn't afford San Luis, but I have come to love this town and the people in it in ways that I never, ever imagined. I heard from quite a few people this week about something that came out in the paper this past week, the website flap, the Taxpayers Watch domain names being purchased by one of our attorneys and linked to the CSD website. We knew nothing about that before it happened, didn't condone it, didn't know about it before it happened. There's been an apology in the paper. I think that everybody realizes now that the linking was probably the one thing that should not have happened there. Purchasing domain sites, that's anybody's prerogative, and if you don't care enough to protect your name that way and you can't be mad at other people for doing it, but linking it to our site was not the right thing. We do not want to engage in kind of activities that we've held people accountable for in the past, and I am glad that we heard from people holding us accountable or wanting to know just what the reality was there. And the board is in no need to apologize for that, but I would like everybody to know we didn't know about it, and I'm glad that Mr. McClendon did step up and issue that apology. And the last thing is, I had hoped that tonight we were going to get an ad hoc committee appointed to work on the request for proposals for the environmental consultant that we're going to need very soon. I talked earlier about the money, but we've got to have a proposal and be ready to hire someone when we find that money. You are going to find us money. So the sooner we could do that, I mean, my recommendations would be maybe the chair and vice chair of the environmental committee, liaison from the wastewater committee, and a couple of directors. And I would be happy to serve with that. Steve, you've done lots of proposals and contracts through Caltrans, and you'd be used to looking at that kind of thing. If you would be willing, and the president so desires, I think you'd be a good choice. But I would like to get that effort going. We need that environmental consultant.
I have no problems doing that right now, if that's appropriate. Mr. Murphy, I can appoint an ad hoc committee tonight, publicly, right? Yep. I take your recommendations and appoint an ad hoc committee to develop the RFP for environmental and appoint you the lead person to pick your committee.
Great. Steve's here. Gail's here. I hope that David Chipping and Melissa Mooney, well, I hope they're getting a good night's sleep at this point, because I hope they check their emails tomorrow, because we'll be hitting the ground running. Thank you.
They have a new assignment, and we're excited about that. Just got to keep moving on every front, and boy, do I appreciate your willingness to keep it on the forefront and all of the volunteers in the community who are willing. So I wanted to talk about four things. It's Vice President's turn first. I'm sorry.
Conservation of water and less soap going into our groundwater basin. And other than that, just thank everybody for coming. I always do. We appreciate your input. That's why we have committees and these public meetings. And just please continue to conserve water. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Fouché. I have three short topics that I want to talk about tonight in my closing comments. But first, I always do like to thank the staff very much for their hard work. This has been a killer week, a killer 2 weeks since our last meeting, and they've done incredible amounts of work again. And please pass that to the rest of the staff, Mrs. Vega and all, Mr. Blesky and Mr. Murphy, all of you. And thank you again to the committees and all the people who are volunteering. This is a really busy time, and we need all of you. all of us work, all of us have home lives and careers and families, and it takes all of us to do this job. And we need your participation, and we need your help, and we need your eyes paying attention constantly to keep us on task, and all of us catch something. So that's important. I also wanted to mention that 58 people were here at the beginning of the meeting tonight. Just thought I'd make a mention because I want you to know that I appreciate your attendance, and I know a lot of people watch at home because I get the emails and phone calls all the time that are people that are watching regularly. What I wanted to notice were some observations when I went to talk with Mr. Hood last week at LAFCO. Some things, I brought the finance committee with me, parts of the finance committee and people who are active in finance. The chair, Mr. Golden, and Mr. Margetson, who is very active in our finance committee, and I brought them with me in attendance. And we shared some things with the LAFCO staff, Mr. Hood and Mr. Church, that they were not aware of. And I thought if they were not aware of it, maybe probably most of you in this audience are aware of it, but they were surprised at some of the things we told them. And some of the things we told them that they were not really aware of yet. They're concerned about the finances and the lawsuits and what's happening. They have a lot of numbers going around in their head, and they've been told a lot of numbers. And we kind of set that straight because the numbers that they were quoting us are coming off these websites, they're coming off these newspaper articles, they're coming out of these opinion pieces that have been talked about earlier tonight. They're not based in reality, they're not based in fact. But yet they're hearing these numbers and thinking that somehow they're true. So I guess I want to assure you, too, that none of the lawsuits that are related to starting construction 20 days before the recall election are settled. None of those lawsuits that are caused by going to construction and enabling contractors and indebting us to that money have been figured out yet. There's complaints and cross-complaints, and there's ACL hearings and CDO hearings, and all of these things that resulted as a cascade from that one event have not been settled. Staff is still working on those things. LAFCO wanted answers. We couldn't give them answers yet because those issues are still going to have to be worked out, unfortunately. The pain that everyone's feeling, it's not just about this board. The pain that has been caused to the whole community. The pain of those actions, the pain of that decision, overpriced bids. They didn't know that the price of the contract was based on that percentage. The more the bids were, the higher Montgomery Watson Garza was going to be paid. They were not aware of any of those things. And so those were kind of important things. Especially, and they were really surprised about the election, too, that the recall election was set so late. And so those are some of the things we shared. We also shared experiences from committee members pre- and post-recall election, and they were interested in some of those things. But mainly, like I said, they received information that they had not received before, and they understand a little better why we cannot provide them with legal conclusions to all of those actions. And the other thing that we kind of talked about and that I really want to stress with LAFCO and with you is right now this CSD board and its staff are in the best position to help this community out of this mess. We have invested heart, soul, time, money, resources in trying to get out of this mess that was caused by going to construction 20 days before a recall election. We are the community. We are watching out for the community's best interests. And I firmly believe that if this is turned over to somebody else, will you get that same level of attention and care? What would be the outcome? We know the issues very well. We've studied them very well. And we're working on them for your defense. This affects all of us. We are all going to pay more or less, or maybe not at all, depending on the efforts and outcome of our staff's work in figuring out these dilemmas. And believe me, they are not settled yet. They're far from settled. So I just wanted to tell you that and to tell you LAFCO's impression of that just from speaking to them. And then finally, I wanted to explain something that really wonderful that happened to me this week, and this is I sense a change. I sense a change in the tides, if you want to put it that way. And that is several people this week who were firmly against me, against my election, against what I stand for as far as moving the project, have approached me in a very heartfelt, they reached out. And I am grateful to them for what they did, and I embraced their reaching out gracefully. And the fact is that they want healing. They want peace. They're tired of fighting. They're tired of arguing, and they're tired of blaming. Okay? And they want to start working towards peace or unity or mediation or cooperation, and they want to work together to get this problem solved. So I just was very encouraged by that. These people would have never approached me before. In fact, have approached me in a very angry and a very different manner in the past. And to see that change was really, I mean, this sounds corny, but it was great. It was beautiful. That's what I mean. I sense a change in the feelings of the community. People want to get this settled, and they want to move on, and they see that we're committed. They see that we're investing quite a bit of energy into solutions for this town, better solutions. So I just thought I'd share that, too.